second any further, sir. You've proved to me that all this ultraviolence and killing is wrong. Wrong and terribly wrong. I've learned the lesson, sir. I see now what I've never seen before. I'm cured. Praise God.
You're not cured yet, boy.
But, sir, Mrs., I see that it's wrong. It's wrong because it's like against society. It's wrong because everybody has the right to live and be happy without being told to chop the name.
No, no, boy, you really must leave it to us. And be cheerful about it. In less than a fortnight now, you'll be a free man.
Welcome to Goyfire. This is our 28th show. Thanks for tuning in tonight, whether it's on BNN's live feed or podcast. We'll be talking about the cartoon uproar in Europe, or raging across Europe as we speak, of the Prophet Muhammad. We have an arrest in the Jennifer Ross murder case. Mental health counselor charged in Polk County, discussing that more in detail. Los Angeles police officer examines the scene of a crash. And rounding it up, TJB. We have a Ira Rennert in the news, about to lose his home. Stay tuned, we'll be getting to that in a bit. As well as listener mail, or as we like to say, L-mail.
Whoa.
Find out who has been writing to us. This is always fascinating to hear from our listeners. Be sure also to send your comments and topic ideas to info@goyfire.com. We look forward to it, and we like responding to your suggestions. So, back to our top story tonight, originating from Paris, France. The managing editor of a French newspaper has been fired over publication of caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad that are inflaming the Muslim world. Where Pakistani protesters on Thursday chanted death to France and God's a gunman demanded apologies from European governments. The furor over the drawings, which first ran in the Danish newspaper in September, cuts to the question of which is more sacred in the Western world, freedom of expression or respect for religious beliefs. Alex Chain, have you been following this story?
Yes, Aegis, I have been following this story. And what I see here is that the Muslims don't like being criticized, and they say anybody who's, you know, does a caricature of Muhammad as a hater and ought to be imprisoned or killed. Now, what other Semitic people do we know that responds in such a way to criticism? I would have to point out that the Jews do. Jews have thrown David Irving in jail for questioning their inflated Holocaust numbers, and they've thrown Guillermo Rudolf in jail for conducting honest scientific trials of the evidence involved in the so-called gassing. He's thrown in jail and deported from the U.S., on bogus reason. They've thrown Ernst Zundel in jail. What the Jews are doing is simply using this to show gullible whites who buy what they sell that Muslims don't support freedom of expression, while hiding the fact that Jews don't support it either. The neocon appeasing columnist will write at great length about how outrageous it is that the Muslims want to suppress this stuff. And nothing's really wrong with what they say. It's not false, but these Jews suppress the same criticism of Jews in exactly the same way the Muslims suppress it. So there's no difference. Neither one of these Semitic peoples has anything to do with Aryan peoples and the kind of culture they create. Neither one of them belongs among us. They brought their ancient hatreds to our shores, okay, with the letting in of the Jews, and it was obviously a gigantic mistake. So don't be bamboozled when you're reading the appeaser press, the Ashkenazi appeaser press. The Jews are every bit as bad as the Muslims.
Now, these Muslims in Britain, Alex, actually appeared yelling and with written signs that said whites should be hung and they should be killed. These other violences, hung, killed, beaten, and so forth. Now, Nick Griffin and Mark Collette were just put on trial for much less. And since this occurred, the British authorities have not been willing to prosecute these people. Of course, they're not going to, because they're special cogs in the anarcho-tyranny system, whereby governments, Western governments, prosecute whites in a tyrannical manner, but allow anarchy to run free, because that suits their methods.
Yeah.
Now, also these editors who publish this is a very well-known fact that you're not supposed to publish any images of Muslim. You may remember a few years ago, Salman Rushdie even had to go into hiding because they published direct criticisms of Muhammad and Muslimism, and so this is no secret. Even that Arabic script that they put on this Muhammad's bomb helmet or bomb turban is not supposed to be published by non-Muslim. But anyway, this has gone on fire around the world. I guess some Danes were involved in street fighting, and they've burned a number of embassies across the world. And conveniently, Israel is floating this whole imbroglio as another excuse to go after Iran, essentially. Time magazine just published something about that, in which the Israelis were said to have 100 U.S. bunker buster bombs by which they can go after Iran. So apparently in the Christian world, or in Christendom, the 57% of Americans who do want to attack Iran, according to a recent survey, and this is because it gives them more fuel for the fire and something for them to consider. Meanwhile, Israel did this to Iraq, and they flew over parts of Saudi Arabia in the early 80s, and now they may do it and commence World War III, or try to, in the interim, and it would be pretty ironic if it's all over a cartoon or behind it.
Well, you know, Craig, the Super Bowl just ended, so the football season's over, and maybe a nice war is what we need to sustain spectator interest.
You know, you said that a lot, Alex, and it really is disturbing how there was even a Shirley Q. Licker skit about that she did, where she said, you know, her friends come over, and she says, we were just watching all them green things they're shooting up in the air and just drinking whiskey out of the... And that's really what America's like. It's a big party when tens of thousands of white Serbian kids get killed. You know, everyone marvels at how many days it's gone on. What was it, 72 days of bombing with cluster bombs and knocking out high-power wires. And the United States just announced a new weapon. It's a laser in which they can supposedly directly target any offensive weapon without collateral damage. I guess it's going to come online by 2006, and it sticks out a 50-inch opening in a C-130, I think. They're doing tests on it now. But it's just, you said that the United States, the Qua is expert at killing people and selling things. And it's just a mess. When their idea of entertainment is to just kill hundreds of thousands of people, and then they hold themselves up as morally superior, because they're killing the right people, not the wrong ones.
Yeah, but we see on one hand there's this anti-nationalism at work, where let's say globalized tendencies. You have the U.S. invading a section of the world and trying to teach them democracy, an enormous cost of blood and treasure. And then you have the Jews and their diasporic strategy infecting countries other than their supposed homeland, Israel, and then you've got the Muslims outside of their boundaries in Europe and elsewhere in Australia causing problems.
And only because they were imported as a result of getting rid of the white Australia policy and the white American immigration restrictions that existed until the Jews bribed legislators to get rid of them. And look at, I'd hate to be an accountant tracking Jewish hypocrisies. I mean, look at, they want democracy, and then when the people vote, who do they vote for? They vote for Hamas. They vote for the radicals. And, you know, Hamas was created by Israel in the first place. That's one irony. Let them vote in open elections and look who they choose. And then they say, well, that's not legitimate. There's no point of honor or just simple integrity or just simple logic that reconciles anything that the neocons and the Ashkenazi appeasers say. It's only what is best for Jews. That's what we have to do. I mean, America doesn't even enter into it in any sense. America is just something, it's a human resource pool for the Jews. And you want to make sure that you're not in that pool.
Some people may not understand, Alex. Most listeners will, perhaps, but that Arabs are in fact Semites. So that's the double entendre or the double sword, where the Jews claim, for instance, that the Arabs are some of the worst anti-Semites in the world, and people who don't understand that they're all Semitic peoples don't get the joke.
Jews are not all Jews are the same genetically, but by and large, they're an inbred subset of the same racial group that makes up the Muslims in the Arab regions, and they've just bred among themselves for dozens of generations and preserved their genome and their race. And Disraeli wrote a lot about that and how race is the key to history, and the Jews have kept their blood purer than anyone else. That's why they denounce that in all potentially competing peoples, and they seek to destroy it. I mean, Hitler writes in Mein Kampf about the Jews and the French importing Negroes into the industrial eastern region there to breed and break down racial barriers with the Germans and destroy them racially. And that's exactly what the Jews are doing to America. That is why on TV you see an endless procession of blondes mixed with blacks. They want to destroy the blonde people. Okay.
And Professor Kevin McDonald says in The Culture of Critique that white people have absolutely no idea how ethnocentric Jews are, especially compared to whites. I mean, we just have literally no conception of it. We're neophytes in the mere consideration.
Well, our evolution has left us, ironically, less xenophobic and more friendly to the outsider than these Jews who evolution has left them, and it's self-directed in large measure. It probably started with a group that was somewhat more paranoid and xenophobic than average, even for Semites, but through self-selection and through following this code that worked to their advantage, they've gotten to the top of the pole. And they are paranoid, they are xenophobic. Think of John Podhoretz, just the grouchy touchiness you can see in his comments on the New Republic, or the National Review blog, The Corner. And that characterizes the whole people, and it makes them extremely aggressive, extremely paranoid, extremely hostile, and yet they work together very well amongst themselves. And this allows them to dominate the honest individual, somewhat prickly and distant Aryan types. We have to use our strengths, which is primarily our ability to understand things, our intelligence, and our creativity, and our questing to create a solution. So what you're hearing here is the equivalent of X Games, except it's in your mind, and hopefully it will become translated into activism. So you understand what the Jews are doing to our people and our nations and what their intent is, and then we group together and we do something about it.
It's not
That's
such
a challenge for
our
time.
It's a very severe reality. I mean, when they've taught white people to essentially hate ourselves and to constantly self-monitor ourselves and feel that we just don't make the grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrible, and it never ends.
Craig,
year to year.
Let's reach people where they are. Now, I hope we have some newcomers listening to the show, and I know that we do. I'll refer to stuff on TV. Now, when you watch TV, you know that you see an endless procession of white males portrayed as ineffectual, goofy, nerdy, whereas you always see minorities portrayed as responsible professionals. They're always sitting in judgment over whites, if you notice. They're always the stern but fair, you know, leader at the office, or they're the cop or the judge, always. And the whites, you know, it's always suggested that their natural partner is the Aryan-looking female. You almost never see blonde males except as figures of evil. Think of Rutger Hauer, who's always, you know, opposed by the heroic, what's his name, Bruce Willis type, who's defending alongside with some minority, some woman. And there's a reason for all this. You've made the same observation, I'm sure, but you may not know the reason for it. And what it is a veiled Now, once you see it, it's not veiled at all. But for most people, they don't fully grasp. They just think it's kind of odd or weird. But what you'll notice, it's unending. There's never anything different from the character. They use a handful of stock stereotypes, and that's all they use. And it's the
right.
same thing endlessly. And there's an ethnic reason for this, and it's a direct attack on you and yours, because it holds out for them goals that are undesirable and encourages all kinds of behavior and activities that are just plain bad and destructive. And that's why you don't want TV.
Right, this repetition of theme, they call these formulas, where they just sort of shuffle around different characters, but it's more or less the same formula. Think Karate Kid. Who's the hero? Who's the bad guy? Who's the mentor, just as an example?
What I had to say, I'm just saying that I'm trying to explain for anyone who's not aware of why TV is the way it is. Because you wouldn't expect it. I mean, what do you see in real life? Do you see blacks who are responsible and professional? Or do you see a bunch of niggers? I see niggers. No, I see
niggers
shoving a broken down van down the street with goofy wide eyes. I look in the paper and I see that a whole bunch of people have been arrested in a tiny town in Missouri for selling crack, and four out of the five of them are obviously niggers from their names. This is the diversity I'm told to love and embrace, and at the cost of my own being promoted or hired by a corporation, I can't get anywhere unless I'm preaching that diversity is good. And how am I inculcating that into my lesson plan? Right? No matter where you are in society, you're forced to subscribe to the state cult that diversity is a good thing. No, diversity is not a good thing. Diversity is good for the Jews, and it's destroying me and my people, and it's intended to, and this is all concealed from you. And it's not a light or modest injury that's inflicted by this. It's an eternal genocide, and that is the intent of it.
If you don't subscribe to your own suicide, you're ipso facto evil.
Yes, that's right. And you're denied access to all manner of public-private institutions.
Right.
I mean, it's a very real thing. I mean, they have. I'm not kidding about that. Say they're doing a professor search, how are you going to incorporate diversity into your curriculum? All kinds of teachers will tell you they have to do that kind of thing. Or maybe you work at Walmart, you know, probably the largest corporation in the world. And, well, you know, your promotion and your pay, Mr. Cobb, is going to be tied to, you know, your ability to work with and hire and promote minorities. What do you think about that?
Yeah, even something as obvious as the invasion by tens of millions of Mexicans into this country illegally, which has displaced literally tens of millions of white people in the workplace, you're supposed to think that's just a great thing. And if you're against it, you're a racist.
Right. Think about the multiplier effect. You've got the whites that have to promote and defend diversity at the disadvantage of their race, and then you have the minorities, non-whites and women, that have to be promoted at the same time. So it's a multiplier that just decimates white males' job prospects over time.
And ages. These are the same. The white liberals who participate in this are the same people who complained in the 50s when universities were asking professors to sign cards saying they weren't communist subversives dedicated to overthrowing the government. Right? But today, you know, you got to be, why should I be happy about blacks expanding their power? I know what niggers are. I see what they do. I don't want more of it. I didn't order it in the first place. I know what they've done in South Africa. I know what they did in Haiti when they took control. I wasn't a revolutionary to be poor. I didn't sign up with a revolutionary, said one ANC member, to be poor. The minute they win, you know what they'll do? They'll quadruple affirmative action. They'll just bleed the whites into the ground, and the whites who have jobs will have to pay a huge tax for being white, and the other ones won't have jobs.
All of these things are occurring now. It's just that whites are a little slow to notice.
It already is.
If they notice, they won't say.
You're paying a white tax, essentially, because the only way you can segregate yourself among humans, i.e. fellow whites, is to A, earn a hell of a lot of money, B, move to a place that only rich people can afford to live in, and C, enjoy paying, you know, $10,000, $12,000 a year in taxes, and I'm not exaggerating. So you own your own house, but you still got to pay, you know, $1,000 a month rent on it, and that's how it is around a lot of large cities these days. So they've turned America from a middle class society of normal civilized white people in which you didn't have to lock your door. They've turned that into a third world shithole in a hell of a lot of areas. Not all areas. There's plenty of pockets that are reasonably decent, but over time, given the demographics, The niggers expand. The Jews remain as firmly in control as ever, and life gets worse for ordinary white people that this show is aimed at.
And meanwhile, the one-eyed Jew is talking to you 2 to 6 hours a day, telling you exactly, you know, pimp your kids, pimp your ride. Listen to nigger music. Niggers are cool. Niggers are cool. Niggers are cool. No, niggers are
right.
not cool.
And that this whole change is progress, and anything against this change is subversive and reactionary.
It's hate. I mean, that's the beauty of the Jews promoting democracy worldwide. Well, how do Jews respond to any criticism? Well, it's illegitimate. Well, if you describe us, if you object to what we claim about history, well, you're a hater. You should be thrown in jail.
Anti-Semitic.
You know?
Right. Haven't these ideas, didn't these
Dude,
ideas
they killed
go out
enough
of vote?
People?
Yeah. Aren't these ideas about 20 years old? We're heading to the new millennium.
And they've even taken it on the world stage. We had, how many Nazis have we had? We had Nazi Milosevic, so they could go bomb white Serbs. We had Nazi bin Laden. He was likened to Hitler and Nazi. And then we had the same with Saddam, and now they're doing the same with the president of Iran. Did you see Chertoff with a giant menorah? What was it, 30 feet high or 40 feet, 50 feet? I see that disappeared from Yahoo's picture database, but it had Shavad Lubavitch right on the podium there, and he stood up there, the head of Homeland Security, at Christmas time, and made his portrait. Or was at the Capitol Mall, right in front of the White House. It was bizarre.
Yeah. Of course, Bush has all those, a whole table full of those nasty, indescribably nasty. Is there anything nastier than a rabbi? I mean, what would your initial react? I mean, you'd react to that worse than a nigger almost. You get this disgusting, fat, caftaned, earlocked, just ugly, nasty looking face, nasty group of people. And you know, you got this little punk ass bitch Bush in there. Who had never achieved anything in life, save that he came out of the legs of a Bush woman. That's his one achievement. Okay, he couldn't manage his oil. He couldn't manage baseball. I mean, he's elected purely because he's a Bush, and this asshole is sitting there selling away America's future at the table of these disgusting Lubavitchers who believe that non-Jews aren't even human. Okay, these are your leaders. This is the remnants of the WASP aristocracy. The people who created America, this is what they've watered down into. It's a pretty sad thing.
In the city on a hill, they've got a room full of these Lubavitchers. I read an article about them. They like to wear clothes that sets them apart from the public, like black silk with a big hat. And they can't be touched by Goyim.
Are they the one that wear those Borsellinos like Abramoff?
Yes, the big derby hats, yes.
And we see the utter corruption of Congress mediated by the Jew, Abramoff. Of course, you won't see him discussed as a Jew in the Jew-controlled press. He'll be a Republican, but not a Jew. But, of course, he is a Jew. And that's, Jews are corrupt. Corrupting people with money is what they do. And
Jew Drudge kind of ballyhooed him on the cover, and he looked like I don't know, De Niro dressed up as a gangster or something, and he said, the man who bought Washington. Kind of a perverted pride about it.
And, Craig, I don't know if I made the point before, but he was involved with that Toward Traditions Lappin, I believe. And Lappin is the one cited who teams up with the paleoconservatives, and he speaks some of the arguments we make here in Goyfire and that some of the paleoconservatives do. He kind of mouths those, and since he's a Jew, of course, that makes his points valid, and that gets him published. The one thing about Jewish writers is you'll find them skating from publication to publication, and the connection there is just that they're Jews. Jews work with Jews. And, you know, they're liberal today, they're conservative tomorrow, they're moderate the day after that, and they've got to be neo-Nazi, they'll fake that too. That's why you have to exclude them from anything that truly is pro-white, and if they're allowed into something, then it, by definition, is not pro-white. Hence,
a lot of American Christians say that God wouldn't have made them his people unless he had great love for them.
God has bad taste, then.
God's
well,
bad guy.
Or you can say that they created God since no one else would play with them.
Well, it's more of their mythology.
Sure it is.
Spielberg is,
Well, this just in, Iran has cut all trade ties with Denmark because of the publication. all trade ties with Denmark were cut, he was quoted as telling his news conference. He said Tuesday Iran would stop any Danish goods from entering its customs area. Iran imports $280 million worth of goods from Denmark a year.
Well, you know, Aegis, this is just a measure of the inferiority of the Muslim religion. Apart from the way the Jews are playing it, which is the bigger part of the story, Islam is an inferior religion, and it's basically a religion of fear and superstition for rabble. And it's racial rabble that does not belong in Europe, and Europe admits it at the price of its own death. Okay,
well,
so when you allow Jews to write your immigration policies, you're going to get a mix. In Europe, you're going to get a bunch of North Africans. In the U.S., you're going to get a bunch of Mexicans. Well, these people will kill it in time. Islam forbids a hell of a lot of things, and anybody who disagrees, it kills them. It's a very simple, primitive sort of thing. And we don't need it here. We are not the same. Islam can't tolerate any kind of criticism. That's always a sign of the inferior. But the strong drives out the good. And unless the good comes with a sword and is willing to defend itself, no kind of liberalism or tolerance or higher values can be sustained. You understand?
I would say about half of the Kwans, at least, believe that they're morally superior because they allow everyone from the world to flood in there and create the havoc that exists now. If people were really against it, they'd stop it.
I don't know.
Beat anybody down who wants to be different. That's sort of the moralism behind the mob.
Poll after poll, and even the dopes at WorldNet Daily through the letters column repeatedly say no amount of propagandizing will change the mind of the average American that a Mexican invasion is good. They know it isn't good. And, of course, they can't, you know, why don't we have people representing normal American interests? You know, and there's a reason. It's the alien control of the media and their ability to undermine any politician who dared stand up for white people.
Yeah, which is, I would say, the keynote of a rational political platform. And if you don't have that, you're just a liberal.
Well, if you're in the system, then you're part of a giant scam that races are equal and anybody can be an American. If you want to fight that, well, you're taking on a huge thing, but you're playing in real politics, which is what the Jews do. Real politics, it means lying and murder. You know, I wish it were a debate and representation and voting, but those tend to more conceal the reality of it than anything. As even the Abramoff thing, you buy people, you misrepresent things to them, and you murder them, and that's how you get ahead. You got your everyday morality, which we need to get along and lubricate our functioning in the normal world where you have integrity and trust, but politics takes place on a biological scale. And the things that work are the things that are called bad in ordinary life. That's just simply a fact. And the fiction is put out to the masses that, yes, you vote, and that determines who leads you, and it's all very nice. We call it a democracy. But, I mean, Christ, they don't even veil it anymore with the Hamas thing. I mean, Hamas gets the votes, and they're, well, you're supposed to vote. We don't like who you voted for, so you better vote again. Keep voting until you get it right.
Well, we talked about it before, but in the Quad, they've got white women on the bandwagon that, herd right in here and live and let live, and you know, they're people just like us. And so they get the white women right away, and then they give them jobs. I have real complaints against that.
Yeah.
Because they're not capable of making logical decisions on the basis of their race. A lot of them won't even have their own children, you know, and they're young women.
To get back to the politics aspect, I would say the key to successful politics is to have a perfect dichotomy between in-group and out-group morals. Out-group, lying and murder, is par for the course. In-group, you have cohesive, honest relations. Mm-hmm. So that the saying, there's no honor among thieves, does not apply, that if you do want more for your people, be it wealth or freedom, you have to have internal regulatory morals or a way of dealing with one another. And the opposite of that for people outside the group.
Well, there can't be an out-group of whites because the most whites think there's no such thing as white, essentially. I mean, they think that we're not a contiguous or a valid racial group. They just don't identify as that. In fact, if you mention it, they find it distasteful. And that's not, right. That hasn't changed.
Yeah, well, the qualifier is think white and be white.
And you got to look at their behavior, not just what they say. They may not even understand their own behavior. They may honestly think that they're moving to a white area because it's safer, because the schools are better. They may not truly understand that what they mean is they're living among white people. You can blame the masses, but, I mean, the masses are essentially feminine. If all they have before them is a bad pattern, that's still what they're going to follow. They can't think.
They got a brown out in their brains. That's what it is.
They can't think. It's not really their fault. I mean, that's what they are. It's the minority that can think, who can lead, and who can form a loyal elite and instill in the people, this is what you are, this is what this group did to you, this is what we're going to do about it. That's what we represent. We represent a revolutionary sort of a counter-narrative to what's going on in America.
Yeah, but, I mean, these people should be able to recognize the real arguments we have. More jobs for whites, better living conditions. Think about all the fucking apartments in the inner cities that would be cleaned out and offered to white families. This is a big way to bring people into our way of thinking. We're, you know, for enriching ourselves and our lives, and mm-hmm. Not kowtowing to impoverishing worldviews that require our suicide in order to be esteemed.
It's just the other side of the high points. I mean, I think people would go for that. You say, look, if you explain it to them, people understand this to a large measure. It's just that the Jews always take care to decapitate potential elites as soon as they see them forming. It's like if they see a bubble forming, they want to pop it. Well, people grasp at some level like, geez, I'm being really highly taxed, and my taxes are going to subsidize a class of niggers that hates me. I think a lot of people understand that. They just don't see what they can do about it. And they're well-fed enough that they're not going to do anything about it on their own. And you can't really make them.
I would like to think that we're a part of an emerging intelligentsia that will pave the way for, let's say, new political theories and finally concrete political improvements to our current situation.
Someone was saying this week, Aegis, that I think she or he had heard these conversations referring to Goyfire countless times in bars and at family circles and so forth. They said they've heard this over and over. Well, you know, you may hear it more and more as well in future, because as it becomes more and more public and more people talk about it, maybe this is all you'll hear.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's no Jew between what I'm saying right now and your ear listening to it. Okay, that's the VNN and the Goyfire difference. We have gotten rid of the Jewish middleman, and you're hearing your own interests discussed by normal white people just like you without this Jewish filter that forces it doesn't force anybody. The weaklings like Pat Buchanan and Rush Limbaugh go along with it because it pays them well.
Yeah. They have the biggest bullhorns with the media, no doubt.
Yeah, they live high off the hog. You know, you can write your book about the decline of the West while never having any kids yourself. You know, like if you're Pat Buchanan and basically what Buchanan does is steal the arguments of the white racialist and then cut the balls off him and then sell it like he's some kind of radical. He's a chipmunk, you know, with a faggot backing him, Raimondo. And he never got anywhere because he's afraid to divide on the basis that can win, which is we are whites and we have white interests. It's not any cultural thing. It's not any Christian thing. You know,
where's the
Sharia in Africa? They say, oh, it's Christianity that made the West. Bullshit.
Tyson's Corner, where Buchanan often writes about, or he makes jokes about it, about how they're living high on the hog there in Tyson's Corner. Mm-hmm. In these multi-million-dollar mansions, I had such a great time throwing TA3s all over these people.
I know
because,
that area.
It's just quite remarkable. The people with money and power in this country who are just watching this country go down the sewer and won't do anything about it. It's disgusting, really.
Well, I think that is part of it. We're not going to see a revolution from the rich. We never have, never will. It's going to be people of middle to lower middle to even lower upper. I wouldn't, well, perhaps. I think in Germany, the petite aristocracy only went along with the National Socialists because they would have been ashamed not to have gone along with them to a certain extent. But the nouveau riche, or even the old money, is only very unwillingly going to fund white nationalism. They're living high on the hog, with or without.
Well, the funds are coming. What the deficit with China is, what, $200 billion now or something? Is that in 1 month? I don't know. And gold hit a 25-year high.
Yeah, there's lots of signs. I don't know. I mean, you look at the American Revolution. There are plenty of rich who are involved with that and leading it. Of course, it's on a very different scale from today.
The American, I would just say they position themselves to benefit from throwing off the English. That means they would have been the rulers of the resources of North America and not otherwise.
Yeah.
I think they stood to gain a lot more than the sellouts inhabiting the U.S. today.
Yeah, but not all people who are rich because of they're benefiting from diversity. I think a hell of a lot of them recognize it's a huge problem. They're like anyone else. They don't know. Just because you're rich doesn't mean it doesn't mean you're not ignorant. You may know a lot about certain areas, but you may not know about other things. And it you know, once you have something, you want to protect it. I mean, that's natural and normal. And I think plenty of them would come over if they saw something that was a better solution. Now, some of the people whose careers are based in the diversity and the are obviously going to fight it, but even they are, I don't think, particularly strong. We have the real strength of the passion on our side. We have the true agenda.
I'm so sick of hearing it. Diversity, diversity. It's injected in this. How many newspaper articles, how many speeches and school mantras or statements of purpose. It's just sickening. Diversity. Except the diversity of white people is disrespected and constantly run into the ground or ignored.
Yeah, the controlled media uniformly support diversity, by which they mean people from anywhere and everywhere, exalted over whites, who are there to give back for their 400 years of slavery of black folks. You know, even though they bought those blacks from Jews, from Jewish dealers. You didn't know Jews dealt slaves? Maybe the Jews didn't want you to know that. People aren't revolutionary yet, but there's a lot of signs that the economy is not doing particularly well and will continue to do worse. It's funny. In the brief bit of cable, I happen to see a bit of Rockford Files. That was a TV show from the 70s, and the cop was having them over to dinner, and he gives them a wine, and he's like, wow, $6 bottle of wine. Like he's real impressed by it. So think about that. I'm not a wine drinker. I don't know what wine costs today, but it's a lot more. To impress someone with a bottle of wine, I think you'd have to spend a hell of a lot more than $6. That would be associated with the low end today. So there's plenty of inflation out there. And regardless
of
what
question,
they say.
The question is whether Bidenomics just kills off more people than it radicalizes them, or enslaves them more than it frees them up for political activity.
Well, once you don't have anything to eat, I mean, if you don't have anything to eat and your money is worthless, what are you going to do? I mean, if you saved all this money all your life and it's worth nothing, you know, because all of a sudden there's this inflation, that radicalizes people. That is what will radicalize the middle classes. That's what happened in Germany, and we're pretty much the same kind of people. I mean, if you tell these people all of a sudden everything you own is now worthless, your bank accounts are worthless,
well, they're
that's
gonna
when
start
things
looking,
can fall apart.
They're going to start looking for answers, and, of course, there has to be some organization giving them answers and reaching them with
the
message.
Yeah, well, that's why we have to build our organizations now and quit worrying about the people so much. Just what can we do to provide plausible leadership, plausible media, and then plausible organizations that can actually help people when there's a problem? like if there's a problem in Katrina or what have you. We're not there yet. We're not even close to being there, but that's what we need to do. And I mean, the day that there's no food on the shelves, if you don't have food, what are you going to do? You got to do anything to get it. And that's what will make people open to supposedly extreme. They won't care if something's hatred or extremism if it provides the goods and it gives them an explanation of what's going on. When everyone's well off, you know, it just sounds like a big hassle to get involved in politics. When you know, the position's denounced as hate by every respectable sector, even if you feel somewhat uneasy and you're not intellectual, you don't really think about it. You know the diversity is not really that good and it seems to be anti-you. You know, you've had a couple training sessions in your private corporation and, you know, basically it seems like they just fucking hate you and want you to hate yourself and you know,
that's about the nub of it, isn't it?
Yeah, white people grasp that this shit is anti-me. I mean, ordinarily white people see that. They know they're supposed to say one thing and they're... A lot of white people, they use their higher IQs as like to make themselves trained poodles or something. They're so proud that they can figure out what the leaders are telling them to do and do it. It's very much like even women who are smart tend to be smart in a parrot type sense. They pick up what they're supposed to say and repeat it a little more quickly than the other ones. Whereas male brilliance tends to be more original. That's just an observation, but the mass of even the smart people seems a lot like that. They're just so happy they can figure out, like, this is the going line. And, ooh, I've discovered a new way I can show how sympathetic I am to blacks. And
right,
this sort of
working
exhibitionism is just one of the horrible byproducts of the last 30, 40 years of indoctrination.
Yeah, or just working on the dichotomy of acting one way and having an official opinion and secretly thinking something absolutely different or opposed to it.
You know, I was alerted to a book which I have not read yet, but listeners may want to check into, called The Captive Mind, I believe written by a Czech writer, and it's about that, exactly that bifurcation, that public-private break Czechoslovakia under the communists, the Judeo-communists. And that's what you see increasingly in America. I mean, I was watching a tape of TV, and I just started writing down some of the stories in a little CNN news segment of like 15 minutes, and this was a tape from months and months ago that I just got around to looking at a little bit. And, you know, there's like, first of all, they're thinking about revoking the license of a doctor because he told this fat bitch that A, men don't like really obese women. So they're thinking about revoking his license. Second thing was, we're going to sue all the colleges who don't get rid of these ethnic nicknames for their teams. The third thing was some dude bitching about violent video games and how we have to get them off the show. I mean, that's what America's become. I mean, the land of the free, the land of the pettifogger and the barrister and the demoralizing, just asshole. It's just quibbling, niggling, whining, bitching, moaning. It's not an attractive place. Not as attractive as it was in the 19th century, I don't think. You know, everything's got everybody. No one can tolerate anything different. Don't tell me anything that hurts my feeling or makes me feel less good about myself. I can't handle anything.
Even the
and what it does, and then when it takes positive action, Jesus Christ, it's bombing people for no reason. It's killing people for no reason in my name. I don't want to go over to Iraq and kill people. I don't give a fuck about what's going on in Iraq. It has nothing to do with my life. I'm not threatened by it. They're not going to get a nuke and bomb us. When you dumb down the population, you deracinate it, and you carry that on over decades, we are the end result of that, and it's not pretty. And it's not only not pretty, which is an aesthetic thing, it's dangerous.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, we have an arrest in the Jennifer Ross murder case.
Where my government?
Shizzle, yeah, my niggas. It's time for the TMB section of our program.
Police have made an arrest in the murder of 19-year-old Jennifer Ross. They're not releasing a lot of information at the moment in this high-profile case, but this afternoon they arrested Michael Thorpe, 25, who they say shot Ross.
Nigger.
Investigators say he is a key suspect and more arrests may follow. Ross was shot by a Negro in New Orleans Square in Savannah on Christmas Eve. She was walking with some friends after going to a cotillion downtown when a group of men tried to mug them, then shot Ross in the stomach. She died on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
She lived between Christmas and New Year's. How lovely, huh?
Police have been chasing down dozens of leads, and today they're pretty proud of their hard work. Oh, it was a diligent effort. The officers did a great, terrific job. Thanks to the community and the tips they gave us. You know, okay, great, but then it's going to happen again next week. I mean, what kind of a fucking moron continues to, you know, mop the floor while the fucking tap is running? The problem is the goddamn niggers. And we've got, you know, people like Joe Fair on there. Oh, what a shame that one in three blacks is babies is aborted. Well, this is the kind of fucker they grow up to be. The problem is blacks. It's not one black person or that black. Like, crime among whites is a tiny minority. You listening to Goyfire, do you know anybody who's a professional criminal? Okay, I don't know anybody who makes a life out of stealing things, killing people, whatever. I don't know anybody in that circle. Now, and I don't think the average white does. Criminality among whites is maybe a 1%, maybe is hardcore. But among niggers, I mean, Jesus, it's probably a third to 40% of them, and the rest of them have no problem with niggers looting and stealing and thieving and using drugs. I mean, look who they vote for. Who's the guy, Marion D.C.? And the thing is, just the insanity. You can take almost any news story in America and just see the insanity, and you can see where the end will lead if you know how to think logically. The end of it is this: the type of people like this nigger that Chains posted this on the forum, vnnforum.com. Sign up, and it's under what is it, under news, I think. Yeah, this just in the news section, and this sort of story happens all the time. A beautiful young white girl is killed by a stupid nigger for no reason.
Oh. By the way, when this broke, Alex, as I recall, it was just suddenly she was just shot. Well, she was with a group of friends. They knew a nigger did it because they walked right up on him. And it wasn't reported like that, as I recall, initially. You know, they didn't say it was a black who attacked or anything like that.
Well, why was race relevant, Craig? I mean, it could have been a white person doing this. It was a robbery. Yeah, race had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
and they might have caught a criminal.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys on the forum,
race when it's relevant to the story.
When you do your Jew accent, Alex, it's too much. One of the guys on our forum, I guess his brother-in-law, actually was the surgeon who operated on Jennifer Ross, age 19 years old. And she was a very beautiful young girl, yeah. And she had been, it looked, I guess, that she was going to survive, and somehow the artery, I guess, passed through the abdominal area and suddenly ruptured.
Yeah.
And this was, a woman in a prominent family in South Carolina, a young woman,
and
I saw the fountain where she was shot. It looked like something out of Pollyanna or something, you know, just a phallic fountain in the middle of a beautiful park, and here the girls were strolling afterwards, and some feral nigger walks up and ends it all.
And Craig, this story is going to go in TA4. It's a great TNB one. I say great in the sense that Netanyahu said 9/11 was great for Israel. Maybe the only good that can come of this girl's death is not founding some chicken shit foundation to save people shot by niggers. It's a foundation to erase niggers from planet Earth. It's the only foundation that's worthwhile, or at least constrain them to a nasty game park in Africa. But this thing happens over and over, and we don't deal with
their
it.
Their genetics, I think they actually take great pleasure genetically as an evolutionary strategy in killing the eggs of egg-bearing women. And when, if there's not time to rape them, well, then kill them. You know?
Yeah.
They've done the same thing as in banks. They do it all over the place. And, you know, you've said, well, if you don't get killed by them, you just have to deal with their nastiness down the street. There's one in Detroit, by the way, not to get off the subject, but this one at the Super Bowl, apparently he shot a couple, one of them dead and the other one seriously injured because he got bumped, dissed on the streets. You know, you can imagine some tourist looking up at the architecture or something and just... Mm-hmm. glance, you know, by shoulder, and then some nigger pulls out a gun, boom, you know, you disrespected me.
Yeah, niggers have very tiny brains, and they're very bothered by things like someone scuffing their shoe. I mean, that guy at Boondocks is a black cartoon strip, you know, talking about nigger moments and how, like, you know, 60% of them have to do with their fucking shoes being affected. Someone bumps them, and they're just dumb. They're dumb, stupid manimals. And I've got to say, I got a letter from a guy in the last week, and he says, I object to you calling them manimals. He's like, I've been housed with these things for 10 years, and they have no, and he's in like a federal prison. He's like, there's nothing about them that's human at all. They're not the least bit man of men, and they're just plain animals.
And we're such what is it in the American character that has a problem with fucking reasoning? That this sort of story happens over and over and over. And I know that it's the Jews and their refusal to place this racial crime in context, and they're calling what we do in doing that hate, but there's got to be a strain that, of our character that's defective that allows them to get away with this, because the goddamnedest lowest moron can see that this sort of thing is repetitive. It happens for a reason. It will continue to happen. Now, I have a daughter. Now, they put 19 years invested in raising her, paying for her, educating her, and now she's about to go off and live a life, and some fucking stupid little coon puts an end to it? Some fucking little nigger animal that we're taught to worship by TV? I mean, what the fuck is wrong with this country?
Well, walking around listening to his Mau Mau music all day long and blasting on the streets and committing crimes.
These fucking monkeys, and yeah, that's the point you just made that I'll pick up on, is it's not, this is merely the money shot, to borrow the porn terminology, is a nigger killing someone. It's the daily shit where they kill your ears with their crappy goddamn music, their stupid broken down cars, their in complete inability to speak English, just their general slovenliness, stupidity, stinkiness.
Their bad attitude.
And then they walk into any government office and get the red carpet treatment. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then they're bitching about how we treat them because we brought them over and allowed them to mix with humans and see how it was done.
Yeah, nigger service goes something like this. They'll say something in Ebonics, and when you don't understand what they said, they'll repeat themselves six times.
You know what I'm saying?
Seven
yeah.
times, however long it takes for you to understand what they mean.
They're fucking useless. I mean, I one time I called a major telecom provider and asked them about a high-level service. And, you know, a T1, which is a really fast connection. And they're like, what was that shit? And, you know, they hadn't heard of T1. And so I had to, see, you pass me this, you stupid fucking monkey, you're selling telecom services, I'm asking you how much it costs per month for this service. So they had to transfer, and finally I got a middle-aged white guy who had some kind of engineering knowledge who was able to tell me what I wanted to know, but they're fucking useless. Niggers are useless. Allowing them to live among us is insanity. But again, niggers are merely the symptom. The cause is the Jew. The Jew passed the laws called civil rights that forced these murderous niggers, animals, among us. So don't get mad at blacks. They're just fucking land sharks. Get mad at the
Jews.
Maybe
they won't kill your daughter. Maybe they'll just knock her up. Good luck. Huh?
Yeah, maybe they'll do something. It's like Sobin would sometimes say, it's not what they do that's illegal. It's what they can do within the law. I mean, they can come in amongst whites and impregnate them and run off, which is what niggers always do. You can find examples of that within blocks of where you live. Useless subhuman scum.
I'm just looking at the two pictures here. We've got Jennifer Ross, this very intelligent face, shoulder length, blonde hair, smiling, just makes a very favorable impression. And then below we have her murderer, just a slack-jawed, red-eyed Negro with dreadlocks.
Let's pick up an aspect of this story, too, is that her mom speculated maybe this killer never knew love the way she did. Now, this is what's the literary term for attributing human-like qualities to animals and plants and other inanimate objects? It's anthropomorphism, right? you're treating these niggers as though they're humans. They're not human. They're fucking apes from Africa. They're not the same species. Just because whites and blacks can breed, that doesn't mean you don't have to define a species that way. Look at them. They're not the same thing as we are. They don't sound like we do. They don't look like we do. They sure as hell don't think like we do. They ain't us. We don't want anything to do with them. They're not even good at basketball either. I got to throw that in there. I mean, they're fucking being driven out by the Eastern Europeans. I love it. I think the Eastern Europeans are already about 15% of the NBA. And what they're going to do to the black middle class in the NBA is the same thing that's happening to the white middle class in the country. They're going to be fucking out of work for, well, in their case, they're going to be driven out because they're not as skilled. Even with genetic advantages in leaping, they can't, they're not good enough to develop skills.
Yeah,
so
they truly are useless. I mean, think about,
or
if we're going to use basketball as a metaphor, think how retarded the slam dunk is. And that's what they brought to the game.
the slam dunk. Well,
how much finesse is involved there? It's taking the ball and physically throwing it through the hoop.
It's true. There's less finesse involved, but you're trying to score, so, you know, it's not worthless, but I played plenty of basketball, and it's just niggers destroy. If you have more than one nigger in a game, they will destroy it. It's just like they found in neighborhoods that the tipping point is about 12%. You get about 12% blacks, then it goes to hell because the nigger is so strong. It's weak but strong. It's like Gresham's Law. The bad drives out the good. He was referring to economics. Bad money drives out good. But it holds true for other things. The crude, strong, weak will dominate the refined and superior unless the refined is protected and conscious of itself and what it is and the conditions that produce it and is determined to protect it. And that's what you hear in my voice is determination to protect it. We are the true elite. We here at Goyfire, we represent a counter-elite to the people running this nation. You can see what they're doing. We told you about this war in Iran ahead of time, or war in Iraq. We told you what was actually motivating them. And damn it, you need to start listening to us. We will not mislead you because we are you, and we represent your interests. The fucking George Bush and those people, they don't represent your interests. They just claim that they do. But look at the country. Look at the Mexicans coming in. Look at all the Asians coming in. Is that in your interest? Look at the affirmative action. That's just discrimination against you. Look at the TV that preaches hatred of you and tells your daughter to go mix with the blacks. I mean, you think these people like you? You think they have good intentions for you? No, we here at Goyfire, we are the good guys. We're telling you the truth. We're on your side. You need to join with us.
As bad as things are for your daughters, for your sons, they're probably worse in a lot of respects. Because
sure.
The young white males are being marginalized beyond the limits of marginalization, essentially.
You're right. They don't even appear in a lot of ads if you look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at the circulars, and it's always like white blonde girls. Like someone says, you'll never see white blonde males anywhere. You might have a couple effeminate-looking white males thrown in, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, Alex, look how much this elite cares for us, how much money they're spending on Madison Avenue telling us diversity is grand. I mean, if they didn't care, that budget would be a lot smaller, wouldn't it?
You know, before 1970, I don't even think I'd heard that word practically. I mean, you know, I guess I knew what it was, but...
Well, it's become a misnomer. What diversity? Diversity in what?
How many whites are sick of the word? You know, anybody used to just be hounded down. Just shut up already.
Yeah, well, it's almost as if we're all in a mental health facility, and here we have a mental health counselor charged. Hayes had worked at the Peace River Center since last summer. A Polk County mental health counselor was arrested Wednesday for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Investigators said Terrence Hayes, who worked at the Peace River Center mental health organization in Bartow, smoked marijuana with a 16-year-old girl he was supposed to be helping kick a drug problem. Investigators said Hayes visited the girl at her home in Lakeland, and they smoked marijuana together, she drank alcohol, and they watched a porn video. The girl secretly taped the episode and later showed it to her parents, who called law enforcement. The Peace River Center said Hayes, 29, has worked for the 350-employee company since last summer, and all his background checks with law enforcement were spotless. Not only that, he had additional fantastic references, said Margaret Perry of the Peace River Center. Quote, he has a master's degree, and he was working on his Ph.D.
And he's a nigger, too. How marvelous. I'd love to see those references. I bet they're great. So here he was sitting around smoking the spliff with a 16-year-old just to figure out a way he could fuck her. Didn't work out. She was filming him. They tried to challenge her, too, and said, oh, why were you filming, you know? Why is that? And she said, I film all my friends. But I think quite clearly maybe she wanted to get him, and good for her. She got him.
Hey, she might have been filming for Goyfar.
Yeah, really. Please, send us your video. the pot-spoke nigger PhD candidate. He's getting a PhD in nigrology, man.
That's right. Career ruined because of a hateful white woman.
Yeah, his budding academic career ruined. Young Negro scholar hauled up.
Yeah, well, I guess, I guess he got to know that she had a drug problem.
Yeah.
Well, mine's a terrible thing to waste on pot and dope and white pussy.
Goddamn niggers, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got so much TMB, we might as well just go into the next one.
Well, what can we say? Is there anything that we can really say about this? I mean,
give the guy a PhD. He deserves it.
PhD? What was he getting his PhD in?
Africanology, man.
He's an eminent spliffologist.
He's quick on the uptake.
Pimpology.
Yeah. Your PhD in pimpology.
He's got a score, and he knows when to score.
His background checks of law enforcement were spotless.
Sparkling.
What is? I'm trying to translate that into like into black terms. He's only got like, you know, two attempted car thefts and one drive-by. And
our next case: a police officer examines the scene of a crash in Los Angeles. The patients were lining up at the medical clinic, just like any weekday. Up the street, a white Lincoln and a black Nissan were turning a slice of blacktop into an illegal raceway, dueling at 90 miles an hour. Suddenly, the cars clipped each other and the Nissan veered wildly out of control and rocketed into a street corner clinic, leaving 13 people injured, 6 critically. Quote, "I was not drag racing." Ijuma Owens told KCAL TV, quote, "And they pushed me into the wall, and I hurt some innocent people for nothing, because they're wrong for doing it."
Hurt them? Severed their legs? How many legs are flying around there? They said one guy got his face completely ripped off, and Ijuma walked away without even a ticket. Can you believe it? Just went home, sent the guy home.
Are you fucking kidding? They sent him home?
That's what it says in the article, Alex.
What the hell?
Because the guy didn't even get a ticket, not a speeding ticket. I'm sure they'll come and catch up to him if he doesn't, you know.
But Gene, it was an accident.
Yeah, he's probably gone already by now. It's amazing. And where does a nigger get his Nissan ZX anyway? The government give it to him or what? I mean, what do they do? Does he go down to the local car lot and say, "Here's my government shit"? How does that work?
Well, you know, this is Fast and Furious, right? You know, there's a couple movies about this is drag racing, and apparently there's a fair amount of that out there in California, and typical nigger carelessness has screwed up more than a dozen people. And that's just one nigger in one town in 1 hour. Now, you multiply that nigger by 35 point whatever million, and, you know, it's not like we're suppressed. It's not like we're Jewing the stories here, like we're the Jew media. It's not like we're covering up these stories of niggers who cured cancer and invented drugs that helped people with problems. This is just ordinary nigger behavior. It really is. I mean, he produced exceptional results. I mean, he got 13 at one shot. But this kind of idiotic behavior is classical. It's what niggers do because they're niggers.
There was that one hospital in L.A., by the way. I wonder if they took any of the victims there. And they said the cops would, they recorded a radio chatter with the cops. What was it? I don't know, it was Martin Luther King Hospital. We were laughing about it on New Nation News a couple of years ago. And the cops would say, where'd they took him? They took him to Martin Luther King General or whatever. And they said,
he should be dead within the hour.
Yeah, that's right. In other words, probably not going to make it, huh? And sure enough, that hospital eventually got, I guess, closed down in the emergency room. But
you know, Craig, I used to write about healthcare and stuff, and yeah, that's a continual problem with these inner-city hospitals is, A, nobody can pay for care because the government's fucked up the system and they're useless niggers anyway, and of course we end up subsidizing them. Then you add in the illegal aliens and they end up shutting down. You know, we got to pay for them all. Why? I'm white. I don't give a damn about niggers and Mexicans. I don't want to pay for them. I don't like them. I can't stand to be around them.
Well, not only whites
for them,
paying for them, but then if whites try to show up and get comparative services, they do not.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, hey, what do you think this is? You know,
right. Where's that stiff upper lip? You can walk with that gimp.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I don't know. There may be some listeners who don't realize this, but
hospitals are forced to care for pretty much anyone who comes in, and if they deny them, it would be the grounds of a big lawsuit. This is why when you go to emergency rooms, you're always going to see them full of Tia Maria and the little shit-skinned Pedro who are soaking up the services that ultimately you subsidize through our fiscatory, socialist, Jew and minority-favoring system. The system sucks. I mean, you have no stake in the government, white man. The government's putting a stake in you. Hey, how's that for a line? The government's your fucking enemy. I mean, they don't do anything that's in your interest. You know, they start wars in foreign countries, ask you to send money, and I mean, the
send money, send your kids, send your son over there.
Exactly.
And he wants to go to college, get free college.
I mean, the country is essentially bankrupt. The personal savings rate of Americans is negative. The entire culture is, let's send 500 million credit card offers to people to solicit them into wasting money. Everything on TV encourages you to spend money and be cool. You got to look right. You got to have the right clothes and the right car. You got to drink, you know, Sky Vodka or Grey Goose Vodka or some other kind, that whatever the snazzy people are drinking. And you got to be constantly looking around. And all that leads to is just perpetual insecurity. Why don't you be a little more self-reliant, white people, and turn off the goddamn TV? You'll be surprised how that simplifies your life when you're not paying that cable bill and you're not being bombarded with that continually. I use a little for fodder. I do miss the fodder aspect of it, but one thing I noticed from not watching TV continually or having it on as background ambiance is you're just calmer. It's like getting off being hooked on caffeine or something, where you quit. You're less irritable, you're calmer, you're able to focus for a greater extended period. And I think they've done studies in kids, you know, kids are more hyperactive in what they call ADD, the more TV they watch. Even though I'm not a great believer in ADD, it's obviously clear that when you have shifting images that are and extremely loud pop noises, that pop visual iconography and imagery that MTV mm-hmm. first brought about in the 80s, it's going to make you spastic, and it's going to discomfort you at some deep level. You don't want that getting in your kids' eyes and heads. You want to keep them away from that, even apart from the content of the message. It's just the nature of the medium itself. It disturbs and disorients you.
It's a bad thing. That's why they call it agitprop, agitation and propaganda. There's the agitation or the creation of or a disturbance in your mind, and then the message that they drive home.
Yeah, hey guys, back to this case here in Los Angeles. They also tried to blame the whole event on the white Lincoln driver, as if to say, oh, if he hadn't run that poor
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Get this. Now, this is brilliant. Why do they say it's a white Lincoln? How the fuck is race relevant in cars? They won't report it when the race of the goddamn perpetrator, you know, in most of these crimes, but they report the race of the car. It was a fucking racist Lincoln, man.
The black man
was trying to steer away from those people, man. Blacks love humanity, and the fucking racist white Lincoln, man. It just had to kill him, man. I bet there are a bunch of minorities that got run over, and the fucking racist car wanted to take him out. And it was obviously a rich car because it was a Lincoln. You know how rich whites feel about minorities. They hate them. Come on, man.
King of the road.
You know, just a few months ago, they had a series of out-and-out murders on the highways, snipings, you know, just drive-by snipings. And I think it was Spix doing it. And, you know, they had like 8 or 12 or 15 of them, and then it's all gone, not solved, end of story. So this L.A., it's coming to your state if it hasn't ruined your city already. And
that's just more the interplay of the culture and the art mimicking life, and then the feedback loop. And the Jews in Hollywood produce films that are aimed to destroy whites, and part of that is by popularizing crazy behavior, making it seem cool, such as drag racing. Now, of course, there would be a number of people who'd like to do that anyway, but even if this were, say, 40s California, when California was still 90%+ white, even then, if you had whites drag racing, you know that they would have set conditions and limits so that other people wouldn't have gotten hurt, and really only the drivers would have risked their lives. As what was the movie with James Dean where you see that? You know, but here we're dealing with really stupid people, and arguably not even people. I mean, Mexicans and blacks, and they're getting out in places where you have uncontrolled conditions where, yeah, it's likely that they're not going to run into anybody, but, you know, 80% means one out of five times something's going to get fucked up.
Well, and, 90 and miles an hour in a highly populous area.
Yeah, I mean, this is typically stupid colored behavior. Why do we allow these creatures around us? It's insane.
Right, we're able to judge these films and juxtapose them against or next to safe behavior and realize that safe behavior is more practical and simply better than being reckless.
Even when whites do reckless things, they do it carefully.
Yeah, or they're professional.
I mean?
Yeah, but
they're calculated risks versus just nigger insanity.
Right, but think of the suggestivity of the mass of morons out there that actually are influenced and highly influenced by films like you mentioned. What was it?
Fast and Furious. They did at least two of them.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I know what it's about. It's about drag racing. And presumably they picked up some, you know, obscure element of popular culture or there's something that some kids are doing in some places and they glorify it. Oh, they're cool, man. They're drag racing, dude. Let's go out to the drag race, the legal drag race on Saturday nights. And I'm sure there's some whites involved in it, too. But, you know, more wiggerish type whites. And when whites would drag race in other times, they'd be a little more careful about it. So that, hey, you assume the risk of dying if you're going to drag race. But if you have some sense of morality, you're not going to drag other people's lives into it. You know, bystanders, you're going to do it in a deserted area, even if it's illegal.
You would think if your automobile just decapitated people's legs and ran over children and ripped a guy's face off, you know, you'd feel like vomiting or something. You know, you wouldn't be saying, oh, he ran me off the road. You know, we wasn't drag racing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're almost as if they're self-esteemed up about it, you know, which is what they are, really. They're just self-esteemed maniacs.
I mean, this allowing niggers to roam freely in this country is as insane as pouring piranhas into your swimming pool. And then through diligent effort, we were able to identify the particular piranha that bit this woman. And by God, that piranha will never do it again. you're like, dude, but there's still a whole bunch of piranhas in the pool. Well, you know, we're all created equal. And you know, hey, once out of every 100,000 times, you know, some of those swimmers are biting at the piranhas, you know? So, it's this fucking egalitarianism. I say Christianity. I don't really believe that it was sown by Jews to destroy whites. I believe, for whatever reason, it took hold, and it caters to the absolute worst in people. It caters to the lowest sort of scum. And I ran, and even when there was really a perfect picture that I ran in Letters. It was a New York Times story about a family of whites who were missionaries in Africa, and they had a couple of photos, and one was the husband, and he's, you know, a good family man. These are fairly rich people from Northern California, and the family man standing there with one of the, I think, Maasai warriors, and probably some of the more attractive blacks in Africa. But still, you know, radically different from whites. And you know, then there's a picture of his daughter, and she's got a little nigger under her shawl. And she has just a beatific sort of absolutely, you know, beautiful face, countenance, and just absolutely blank-eyed. And you can just, the whole story of Christianity, or one aspect of it, is just written in that visage, which is, you know, I am a good person. I'm keeping my thoughts pure. I am helping the people of the world. But you know what? They won't think. Things in this world generally cut at least two ways. When you take that attitude, we're all people, we're going to save the niggers. Well, what if the cost of saving the niggers is destroying white people? And it is. And this mentality, this crazed mentality, that we're going to save the niggers. There's something psychologically wrong with these people. And it's a strain in whites that all I can say is it's not in me. And if it's not in you who thinks like that, let's go in our own direction and let's leave these crazy missionaries. And they legitimately are missionaries. They're not selling out to Jewish interests. They really believe this stuff just as strongly as I believe the opposite. And I'm saying, you who think like I do, let's go over here and let these people fall apart. Let them kill themselves, because I'm sick of them killing my type with their insanity. And let that Christianity die out. Okay, it's run its course. It is now goddamn genocidal to sane, thinking, normal white people. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't like it. I think it's fucking dangerous. And just the insanity in this young woman's eyes is, you can tell she thinks, I am doing good. I am a good doer. First of all, you don't know yourself if you think that you're a good person. People who think they're good are the most dangerous people in the world. If you don't realize, and
it's
this,
also
this
a Semitic religion when you get down.
This is what Christianity used to be, and why I don't fully subscribe to the Nietzscheanism either. I mean, it's the traditional Christianity would be that progress comes from recognizing I'm not that great of a, I'm a pretty big fucking asshole, basically. Whereas the Nietzschean might exalt that as will to power. I don't really like either one of those. And in fact, I like the traditional Christian view a little bit more because it's saying, like, the, you know, you can exalt, oh, I have will to power. I want to dominate other people and enforce my will on them. I don't feel like that. I just feel like I don't want them dominating me. I don't want to go save the fucking niggers. I don't want to pretend they're my equal when the evidence says they're not and bring them into my community and then call Craig a hater for pointing out what they're doing. That's diseased and dangerous. You know, I'm clouding the issue. I'm bringing in more stuff there, but just go to the letters page and you can see her face and you can see the end of our race in that kind of crazy attitude. So I'm not going that way. I make a choice. You know, you can't control everything, but you can control what you do. What I do is I'm not following those fucking Christians down the rat hole.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
you
again,
go live with the niggers and save them and breed with them. I want to save me from them.
At least talk with these about these things with your friends and family. And continue to do that. That's a start. Even
well,
Craig, publicly. Yeah.
Craig, one of our best TA distributors, Ron Doggett, as he likes
Absolutely.
To say, by people's behavior, they prove that they're with us. They prove they're racist. They don't want to live around niggers. Right? So they can say whatever they want to the pollsters and at work and at the office and in church, but their behavior shows they believe what we're saying on Goyfire. My question to them is, why can't you say it publicly?
Yeah, okay. Well, we have a long Hellenic tradition of rational thought and empiric observation. And those are the cornerstones.
No, Aegis, the Christian church founded the idea of thinking. It all came from the church. Men never thought or reasoned before the Christian church came about. That's
I
what the Catholics
see.
Are saying lately, you understand. Men never thought. So where are all these remarkable white Western creations caused by Christendom? Where are they in Africa where they've converted all these monkeys? Where are they? They don't exist. It's the race that did it. It's not the religion. Whites could believe anything, but they have the brains that if you think that things are causally or logically connected, that is the basis of science. Going the next step and testing it out to figure out what that connection is, that is the basis of progress. Of genuine technical progress. It has nothing to do with what you believe about the universe. But they've been going into that on LouRockwell.com lately, and it really irritates me.
Right, Bacon was a Christian, huh? Something like that.
Well, Christianity is the source of all of scientific progress and reason. Without Christians, no one ever would have reasoned things out. Well, what about the Greeks? Read what they wrote. You can see that they are the same as we are mentally. You can see they thought in the same terms. Not, well, maybe they didn't think in the same terms, but you can see that they thought in a way that's recognizable to us today.
Right. Well, that's why they're treasured as classics. And, in fact, it was the Renaissance. They just have to juxtapose the Renaissance with the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages was a time where this classical knowledge was not readily available. Now, it's true the churches helped to revive some of the work of these classical thinkers, thereby giving the Renaissance an impetus. But it's this classical thought, not the church, that's essential.
Well, the fact that the church was a dominant institution allows them, it's just like the government claiming it created the internet. Well, okay, if you take in, you know, half the money in the country, you've got the money to subsidize a billion things, and out of one of those, one good thing comes, you know, and you take credit for it, it's exactly the same as their... Oh, DARPA created the internet, you know, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, trying to link up government computers to survive a nuclear attack, came up with the internet. Well, okay. If you buy up every PhD in the country and you pay them, I mean, yeah, you're going to come up with some stuff, but to claim that government created it, that's exactly what the Catholic Church is doing. We created reason and science. Yeah, we took the elite and we made them priests and we were totally allied with the state. So, therefore, any intellectual accomplishment is naturally going to be bound up with the church. But that doesn't mean the church caused it. It's the Aryan. It's our blood. I mean, you could take any intelligent white, religious or not, and you could take, you know, 5,000 of those type people and throw them in a forest and raise their kids, you know, as a experiment. They're going to come up with something intelligent.
Well, there are a lot of people in this country now that believe in the omnipresence of government. A lot of them are just beyond the pale supporters of it. They think the U.S. is the be-all and end-all. It may be the end-all, all right.
And that's usually what people flip to when they abandon religious faith. They come up with faith in government, and they're both false faiths. The government, what is the government capable of doing? Really, it kills people. Half the time it kills the wrong people, but it's able to kill enough people and take enough taxes from the still living to keep itself in power.
Well, I think the desire for government is a rational impulse based on the fact that you want an agency to look out for your interests, be it justice or the subsidy of programs that are beneficial to the collective, be it levies.
But the federal government of the United
States
doesn't
do anything, though.
Anti-white.
Yeah, what program does the government, in your daily dealings with it, it doesn't do anything that helps me. I mean,
right. Well, when I say government, I mean government beyond our current government, but government as a concept of governance or an agency that does deal with collective issues. But
I say keep it small and local. You know, let the people of Kirksville solve their problems here. And let the people in Salt Lake solve their problems in Salt Lake. I mean, there's no natural connection between the two. There's a huge span of plains that separates them. What do they have in common? What if either of them have to do with D.C. or something up in North Dakota or Canada?
Well, if you read the Magna Carta or other such documents, race and defense could be two common.
I agree with the defense, but I mean, you can have federations to provide if anybody attacks you. Now look, if every American owns multiple guns, then okay, someone say the Chinese come in and take over. All right, you take over. But A, we don't look Chinese, we don't speak Chinese, and if they start trying to mess things up, I mean, you get the Afghanistan situation. Okay, you dominate the big cities, but we just shoot you when you try to stray from the from your command centers. I mean, you can't really take over an armed populace that's extremely hostile to you. And it's not like they would even try. We wouldn't really have any enemies because of the geography and what have you. If we had a white defensive confederation, we'd keep Mexico out. But now it's too late.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. But
I was just saying, in Mexico, if we kept Mexico out, we wouldn't really have any natural competitors or anybody endangering us, except through Mexico. I mean, there's no way Europe or Asia can really get to us.
Mexicans also are exalted as being somehow a special people who are just trying to be like us. Our little brown friends are just trying to be like we are.
Sure.
And here they have to live next to us and witness all this great wealth. And the self-hating sickness just goes on and on. But in terms of people with guns, a few of them this week took their guns and took some action.
Where was that?
Well, I don't know if Aegis was going to cover that. We talked a little bit about might or might not. What did you call that segment, San Marco and Robita?
The rivets popping segment.
Rivets popping, yeah. And, all right, well, let's go on. Alex was talking about when people own their guns, apparently some of them pop the rivets or they've had it, it may continue to happen. Maybe that'll be one of the stronger manifestations
Well, Craig, if the government truly represents the people, then it wouldn't fear the people having guns. In fact, it would support the people having guns, because guns are like a good meteor, a way of keeping you honest. But when the government hates the people and is afraid of what they might do, well, hell, it doesn't want them having guns. Guns might be used to change the order of things. But if you're running the country reasonably and you're not engaged in stealing on a massive scale, if you're not engaged in graft beyond the ordinary, the people aren't going to revolt. What do they care? It's too much hassle. But when you're carrying out a monstrous profligacy and a monstrous selling out and a monstrous destroying of the nation, then you do have to fear the people owning guns. And that's why the liberals like Feinstein and Schumer and the rest of them, they're not against guns. They're against you owning a gun. Gun control is goy control. Boy, the goys might rise up and slaughter the Abramovs. And the Abramov stands for everyone of either party in D.C. because they're all part of the same thing. With exception of Ron Paul.
Now, I would contend merely that, you know, having guns is, A, not enough against an armed, organized enemy that has adopted a government principle or an organizational principle greater than your own. And B, guns aren't enough against an organized government itself to really be effectual against, let's say, governmental policy. For that, you need a counter elite, a counter political movement to truly defeat it.
I don't see those manifesting in the law.
Well, I mean, you need an army, but, you know, the founders warned about standing armies, and look what we have today. Eisenhower warned about a military-industrial complex, and that's what we've got. We've got a military-industrial complex that, like Christianity, has been subverted to Jewish ends. And a lot of those people, hey, they love these wars. Wars means orders. Wars means lots of money flowing. So what if the nation goes bankrupt as long as they get paid? And, you know, all we're there to do is spectate and cheerlead and applaud and sacrifice our sons and our dollars. So what if it's not in our interests? No one can think. Half of them can't even read.
If they had a study this past week, I think 3.8 million people in Los Angeles are illiterate, Alex. 3.8 million people. They're probably the ones with managerial jobs.
And the other ones can barely make out the captions in the porn magazine pictures. You know? I mean... Yeah, I mean,
right, stick in here. They'll be putting arrows in those porno mags before long.
Insert here. Yeah. Wow, I had no idea. I mean, that's what I was going to say was some quote I read. I think I may have used this before on Goyfire, but some priest said at the start of mass education, he's like, all you're going to be doing is creating a garbage for trash literature by public schools and teaching people to read. And sadly, that's pretty much it. When you got Jews running the country and they say, down is up, in a secular version of Christianity, well, when you exalt, what's the bottomest of the barrel? Well, it's the ghetto nigger. What does the ghetto nigger do? He worships pussy and money. Well, let's get the whites thinking that way. And then they dress down, they can't think, they lose their natural... they're encouraged to abandon their good qualities and embrace their inner nigger, their limbic nigger. And that's what you see
today. Another study said that they couldn't, the average college graduate in the United States is having trouble reading the labels on the cans and the bottles.
Yeah. Well, that one study said that the average, what was it, like college graduate could not understand a credit card application.
Right.
So that's the level we've fallen to. And so naturally
these are the ones that are calling us haters.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of fine print in those credit card applications.
Yeah, but I know.
How about a jar of olives then?
I'm not sure there's a lot of legal boilerplate that would be hard to understand perhaps, but I mean just the basics of the offer, they can't construe the basic meaning of the offer. Like you take our credit card and repay us at 18.8% interest. Or they can't make out that like the rate will jump after 6 months or something. So how can they make out? So see, we see all this stuff and we see through it, but the average person is proud we can make out that like, oh, that argument is hate. Yeah, that's what it is. It's hate. They're proud of that. They figured out it's hate. To us, it seems incredibly repetitive and almost boring. To them, it's a magical world where they don't see these connections. Very dimly make out what's happening.
Yeah, well, by identifying it, they've done the job instead of understanding it or comparing it. That's two different levels.
The average person thinks he's smarter than average, and the psychologists who write these come-on letters, they know this, and they encourage people to think that they're a little smarter than average and they're ahead of the curve. Not too far ahead, because that might be dangerous, but just a little bit ahead of their fellows. And it's like Garrison Keillor said also, you know, where all children are above, from Lake Wobegon, where all children are a little, are above average. Well, that's not statistically possible, but that's what, you know, that's what people think.
Right. Identification is a reflex, whereas evaluation revolves or requires cognitive powers and contemplation.
If I tell you, you've got to tell them 500 million times, this is what will make you cool, and you don't have to say it outright. You just got to show it. You got to show, oh, I'm blonde. I'm a blonde teenage girl. Oh, where's my nigger friend? I'm supposed to have some nigger friends, and I don't have one. There aren't very many niggers around. I better get one. You know, it artificially inflates the value of a nigger who otherwise might be thought a singularly unattractive creature.
Yeah, well, we did talk about this, the suggestivity also, and how agitprop works. You know, agitating, creating a need or a desire that wasn't there before, and then the message, you know, integrate, miscegenate, and die.
I think just the Hollywood mentality is widespread now. It's within the means of pretty much everyone to be physically attractive these days because there's all kinds of cosmetics and even surgery is now cheaper. So you get all these people and they kind of feel like, why is that person a movie star? I'm just as good looking as he or she is. How come I don't have my fame? And then you got this whole reality subculture on TV, and that just further encourages these people into sort of a solipsistic, I'm the only thing that exists, and what I think and feel are really important, and why am I any, I should be as famous as those people, and there's no reason to argue against that, because those people are idiots anyway, but they just happen to be the selected idiots.
Bruce Willis and Angela Jolie.
Yeah, and the
Rob Schneider, the Jewish Filipino.
Yeah.
Who is his talent scout?
In Adam Sandler's new movie.
Loathsome. That's Adam, right. Sandler.
Yeah. He wrote it, produced it.
Schneider's not.
He told Schneider, throw the kid down on first base. So Schneider said he threw him down, and Sandler said, cut, you didn't throw him down hard enough. Schneider said, he's a little kid, probably some little white kid, about 11 years old, I'm sure. Yeah, he's like throwing dwarves or something. He's laughing about that before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Well, they had this Schneider. They had that fucking dumb movie. What was it? Deuce Bigelow. Well, he didn't have just one dumb movie. I don't know if he had any movies that weren't dumb, but I mean that crap is what is celebrated and rehashed. And think about what they could be making. They choose not to for political reasons.
Yeah, well, speaking of TJB, we do have a TJB story.
Who let the Jews out?
Who? Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. 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 Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. 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 Jews.
Who let the Jews out?
Jews. 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 Jews.
One Ira Rennert may lose his home, valued at $185 million. It has 29 bedrooms, 39 bathrooms, a 164-seat theater, two bowling alleys, a restaurant-sized kitchen, a 2.5 million BTU furnace, and a parking garage that could hold 200 cars. Quite a cozy little shack. Don't feel too bad. In the unlikely event he loses it, he has several homes elsewhere. Including one in Israel.
Where is that?
That would be Israel.
Israel. This is one rich Jew.
Yes, a bankruptcy court is scheduled today to consider a reorganization plan for WCI Steel. It calls for moving the business assets out of the steel company and leaving the pension plan in an empty corporate shell. If that happened, the agency would lose its ability to tap Renko Group's assets, which also includes the house of Ira Rennert. When a pension plan defaults, the pension agency has the power under law to go after the assets of any companies that are more than 80% controlled by the same corporate parent. In this case, the pension agency said Renko had more than enough money to make the pension fund fully solvent. The fund was established in 1995 to pay benefits for about 2,000 steel workers and retirees.
This is a common flimflam nowadays, just for these guys to grab the common working people's pension plans and play with it because it's a great source of money. It's a huge it's a huge pool of money, and they grab it and play with it. And it sounds like that's what this Jew did. He played with junk bonds, and they said he dealt with cyclical companies such as metals and smelting and so forth. And then they call him a mogul. Like, he's just like Michael Milken was. You know, he didn't produce anything, so to speak. He just grabbed it and took undervalued or endangered assets and reorganized them and then plundered them.
I don't know too much about this guy, but I know when I was in D.C., I knew a Jew who worked for Pension Benefits Guarantee Corp., and that's another one that probably most people listening to this have never heard of. But it's another one of these, and I'll probably get the words wrong, but it's one of these gigantic federal quasi-public, half-public, half-private groups that's set up to insure things and is, I believe, hugely in the red, or at least hugely overpromised and in great financial trouble. That was the impression I had from the person I knew who worked there as an intern. he was at the time I knew him. But yeah, PGBC is a it's another, like, you know, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or one of these things that they set up to guarantee bad loans, and it is bitten off way more than it can chew. It's just part of the whole print money and then, you know, rescue people from the consequences.
We have the pictures in the forum on bnnforum.com, and you can see Rennert. He's there. In one, he's holding a Torah scroll and walking as if it's in a parade, you know, holding it up as if it's a talisman. In another, he's there with Elie Wiesel and Alex. Recently, you published what did Wiesel say in one of his books? Something about every Jew holds a little hatred in his heart for Germans. What was that passage?
He said every Jew ought to reserve a space in his heart for hatred of the German people and all they represent. Right. He's also said some things are true that didn't happen. You know, other things that happened aren't true.
He's got a Jewish attitude
towards reality. In other words.
Yeah, and all of these multi-billionaire, multi-hundreds of millionaire Jews, like the Bronfman family, which owns Seagram's Liquors in Canada, they used to run booze across the Great Lakes to Joe Kennedy in the 1930s by speedboats, inboards, and that's how Joe Kennedy made his money. But anyway, and Les Wexner, who owns Victoria's Secret, so all you ladies are buying your gear out of that Jew. They're constantly promoting Zionist wars in the form of Emmet, which is we've talked about it before in Goyfar.
Yes, it's
called,
in TH,
it means
TA3
truth.
Also.
Yes, and in other words, these are organizations that are Jewish, Zionistic, and they have scads of money, and they get together and they float ideas that this is where the United States should go now.
Yeah.
This is the direction we should go. Let's start a war with Saddam. Let's go grab Saddam because he's supporting suicide bombers in Palestine.
Yeah.
And paying them 25. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go over there and invade Baghdad. And they used $200 million U.S. money and floated that idea. And they used some fake Israeli memos that there's uranium coming out of Africa, Mossad memos. And not much was made of that, even after they discovered that it was Mossad who floated those fake memos.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Except yeah,
the Jew. You can't criticize the Jew in Israel.
One thing, and people say, well, boycott them, boycott the Jew. Well, let me tell you, if the Jews are so extensive in their retail holdings that it makes more sense to not buy things if you're trying to hurt them economically from anybody except a known white source, because it's likelier to be Jew-owned than not Jew-owned, your average store in the mall, I would have to say. And if it's not Jew-owned, it's certainly supporting the Judeo structure by, you know, participating in anti-white discrimination. So really, the less you buy, and only buying from a few proven white sources is about the only thing you can do.
Well, also,
because these people are the heads of these retailers are usually Jews from the East Coast who got into retail a long time ago, and they're supporting Zionism with their profits.
And
yeah, well, internet, I encourage people to use that as best as they can and try to find homegrown production place, you know, where you can get back to the roots of production and just cut out the middleman.
And also, you can get almost anything. Anything that you buy that's new is likelier to put money in Jew pockets. You go buy some flimsy cloth that the Jew TV tells you is sexy from Victoria's Secret, and little do you know that, you know, maybe a dollar out of that $30, you know, is forwarded to Israel, or it's used to subsidize foreign wars, or to support propaganda promoting wars possibly involving your son to make things safer for Israel. So you gotta tie it all together the way a Jew would. Do not use your money, which is far more significant than your vote, to support
Zionism. And
yet,
it's a great leap for whites to even. It's a great leap, Alex. I think for them to even begin to see,
sure,
that their interests do not coalesce with Israel's. A lot of whites,
sure,
just can't get past that point because it's so drumbeated into them that Israel,
and the goy facade Bush is out there saying, support the economy, fly around the country, buy things, don't save any money. Just go out and buy things. Well, who are you buying from? You buy retail, you're buying Jew shit. You know, unless it's food that you have to buy, get it secondhand. Get your cars used from someone you know for a couple $1,000. You can get any kind of clothes for, you know, dimes on the dollar, pennies on the dollar at a lot of places. Books, anything. If you're paying retail, you're putting money in the pocket of the Jew. It's that simple. That's how you have to think about it. Think about boycott, that's pointless. If you want to boycott, don't spend money retail. That simple.
Yeah.
And if you do find the odd supplier that you know is politically reliable, then do support them. Same thing with media. With us, you know, you're not getting any Jews in the background. It's not being filtered through Jews, or Jews aren't taking a cut of it. But with retail, you can be guaranteed it is.
Well, speaking of which, we have some reader mail here. This one from an anonymous poster, but it says, Dear Alex, you rock. The more you listen to Goyfire, the more truth you find. Believe it or not, the originator of eye movement desensitization or desensitization.
Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy.
Is
reprocessing.
Fucking classic. It's
blog named Shapiro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted this in the thread of Goyfire28 at vnnforum.com in the Goyfire subforum under broadcasting. And yeah, this is a listener who identified this Jew Shapiro as the founder of this eye reprocessing, which is will help you see the world the way Jews want you to see it if the ordinary agit prop doesn't take. And this is in reference
Shapiro
to
Shapiro name. Like O.J.'s lawyer, Shapiro, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had talked about eye reprocessing in relation to that Salon letter from the liberal woman who had been beaten up by gangs of niggers almost daily at her junior high and was disturbed that whenever she came across a black today, she didn't have the right, quote, reaction to those blacks. And he encouraged her not to believe that she had been a true victim, but to learn how to, maybe there's exciting advances in eye reprocessing. So you can learn to see niggers like they're helpful people and not the walking piranhas that they seem to be.
Is insanity. Rasta Irie?
Yeah.
Get it.
This is Irie. Insanity beyond parody, beyond satire. I mean, eye reprocessing. Come on. There's a reason your eye... And it's like, you know, my finger felt excessive heat from the heater on the stove. Therefore, I need to have nerve reprocessing. That I learned that the burner is my friend. Well, it's there just the way that your nerves sense heat, and you feel pain for a reason. You feel fear or disgust or loathing when you see a black for the same reason. It's a fearful and loathsome thing. Okay? Trust your instincts. Well, are they going to be wrong about something that essential? When you see a black, even if you don't specifically feel those feelings of revulsion, you feel this is something radically different from what I am, and you get that very, very much. You get that potential threat because
it's
backed up by the sound and the smell.
With all these walking, living, smelling warnings to us, something like that.
They're sending out every possible chemical and epidermal signal that they are a problem, and it's backed up by the evidence. Everything is in perfect alignment. And
like
that is why this alien hostile minority has to control the media to persuade us that it's otherwise.
because if the media were to report on what's going on, we wouldn't have the problem because we'd recognize it as a problem and we'd solve it. And it is one of those problems that can be solved. Unlike people being greedy or stealing whatever, there's always going to be some of that, but niggers is a problem that has a solution, just as Jews is a problem that has a solution.
Yeah, well, I actually posted a thread on this IRE processing in November of last year with Shapiro and the whole thing. Apparently, this was something Shapiro repackaged after 9/11 for people dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. But, in fact, the therapy itself is very old. It, just imagine all of those old movies you saw where people swing a watch in front of your eyes and hypnotize you. So having people move their eyes in a repetitive way and counseling them is not new. It's just it got repackaged after 9/11, and, of course, Shapiro was there to make a buck off it.
You know, Aegis, and first I want to say thanks to the reader for writing in. We appreciate getting some feedback on our shows so that we know that you're listening, and thanks for writing. But, yeah, I think that even in America there's a bias against anybody who appears to be observant or intelligent. I think you seem like you're rocking the boat. There's a whole – it's like you're just – some guy wrote once. I can't remember where it was. He's like, you know, it's like you're creating a disturbance in the force. If you actually look at what's going on pointedly and think about it and draw a conclusion about it and act on it, there's a whole chain of causality and a whole way of being that is foreign to what America is these days, where you're just supposed to be aimlessly friendly and effusing, you know, a defense of good cheer, as Florence King put it one time.
What is America these days? A lot of people have no idea, I think. They'd well, like
it doesn't,
to think that
it
they...
doesn't cohere, does it?
No, it doesn't. And there are a lot of disconnects about it daily. They're infinite and getting worse.
Well, I don't feel connection to people from Asia who are over here. I don't feel connected to people from Mexico who are here. Niggers, I mean, even to say it is ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
they're not my people. I don't want them here. They don't belong here. Why are they here?
America is as American as Madison Avenue and K Street, and I don't think most Americans know what either one is.
And K Street is where all the lobbyists are in D.C., the Abramoff Avenue, it could be renamed. Abramoff being the Jew, being busted for buying politicians.
How long did Abramoff get in prison? Remember? How long did they give him? 6 years, something?
I can't remember.
Tennis court prison?
But these people are all connected and benefiting from the lies that they spread. Who is not benefiting? You listening to Goyfire. You're paying the price. You're subsidizing these people with your taxes and by buying their media.
And
they're going to keep giving you more of the nigger as hero.
How evil and loathsome you are at every turn.
And Craig, last night I saw a little Comedy Central, and because I was not at home, and they had, you know, they like to mock everything. And I noticed in the years when I had cable, they would make frequent references to white trash. And but they had, you know, they ran one of their usually mocking, I don't know what they call it. It's their little in-house stuff they run between the segments of the shows. And instead of mocking, they just had Coretta Scott King, 19-whatever to 2006. And I kept waiting for the, I'm just kidding. I knew they wouldn't dare make fun of Coretta Scott King. That would have to be left for the haters. I guess they don't hate us when they call us white trash, though.
Well, where is the program mocking Yids, some Yid family? You know,
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Alex, that's an endearing term. That's a term of endearment.
Alan and George Byrne.
You know what would be interesting? You know, there's a lot of ways you could cut it. William F. Buckley had an idea that a new and better way of doing a biography would be kind of like a biopsy of a life. You take a 2-week segment of someone interesting's life, and you record, you know, just every single thing that he did in that slice. And I think that's pretty interesting and a good way of doing it. A similar thing could be applied to TV or to the newsstand, where you take like every issue in a certain newsstand of a magazine for a particular month, like say April 2008 or 2006. Or you could do the same thing on TV, and even another variation would be you just turn on the TV at one channel and you you listen for how you record how long it takes until you get the first anti-white meme come through, and then you switch the you write it down, and then you switch the channel. Now, I think that would be fascinating. In fact, I was going to do that last night, but I fell asleep too early. Because, but I saw one right off. I mean, I can't remember what the hell it was, but deferential to Coretta Scott King, where they would have been mocking somebody white. You turn the channel and there's something else. But
we kept.
Yeah. Oh, it was them. They had a little of that movie Covenant that had the hot teenage chicks who were pretending to be witches, and there were references to white trash in that.
Yeah.
From the and it showed blonde girls mocking a caramel colored mulatto too. You know. It was actually pretty funny. The one chick is like, what is this in? She's like, what is this in my hairbrush? Because they're all in the swim team. I didn't think blacks really swam. I've never heard of a black on a swimming team. But these girls in there, and she's like, oh, what is this? Is a pubic hair in my brush? She's like, oh no, this is one of Gloria's nappies. That's fucking funny, actually. And I'm sure a lot of you listening to this have seen that movie. But it's an old movie. It just happened to be on, but. Yeah, it would be really interesting just to record anti-white stuff and just write it down and record the amount of time it took to find the reference, and you could probably do it within a couple hours.
About, yeah, that would be a great way of positing these blackness allegations that they're living in a racist society.
Well, you know, let me make a larger point here. I had this idea back in college, which was that, damn, if I had the time and the money, and this is exactly the sort of thing that would be funded if you were on the left, except it would be from reverse, is that I'd like to have a grant to, like, go through and pull every single volume in the college bookstore off the shelf, write it down, and note the ethnicity of the author and the political position of the book. And it would just be all kinds of fascinating studies could be carried out. We know what they would find beforehand, but it would still be interesting to see it written up formally. But that's the sort
some of the
thing
most aggressive ones right now, strangely enough, are people... in places like Wichita, where the Carr Brothers case was, and Omaha, where I guess Jennifer Cooper, remember, was killed by Lucky. And,
that's right.
These people are amongst the most aggressively self-critical, whites on race issues, the liberals who lead these cities.
They sure are.
And that's frightening, because those are Midwestern places, and really the last bastions of any kind of homogeneity.
Yeah, you see that here, definitely. That's how it is in Kirksville. That, you know, they think the small-time elites think that they're leading the way with their, we're progressive, you know, as opposed, oh, don't associate me with the small-town hicks. I am one of the progressive elite leading us to a better, more diverse age. And the Christianity
like
is...
Yeah. Kansas City is divided up by race. Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, all the niggers on the Missouri side, essentially. It's just like a one big, huge, dangerous jungle, really.
Yeah.
Full of serial killers and pimps and...
Yeah, I didn't realize how niggerized Kansas City was, but...
Oh, it's awful.
When I had cable, they had like they had one sort of like local KC channel where they would just have... They'd set up a camera in the local mall and let people make comments, and I mean, there's a lot of niggers. Dumb. They do lots of dumb stuff. You remember, that's where the story came from. The guy would just ride his bike, and the two niggers in the car just pulled up and shot him. Of course, they missed the first two times. They finally got him the third, but, you know, that's, again, that's just ordinary nigger behavior. And we allow them to run around us free. You know, the races are irreconcilable, as Jefferson said. This is what I can't remember his other quote, but he basically said, you know, I fear the day when these people are ever allowed to mix freely in the U.S. If that day ever comes, it will be destroyed.
And remember, that quote was kept off the marble or the granite tablets of the Jefferson Memorial.
That the races are irreconcilable, yes, is the second half of what's inscribed in the Lincoln Memorial. I believe I have that right. It's the Lincoln, right? Correct?
No, it would be the Jefferson, because Jefferson talked about the irreconcilable and that they can live under the same two governments.
I guess that's right. He said, I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking it was the Lincoln one. But
Lincoln just wanted to deport him, get him off the continent. That's not taught either, is it?
I guess it wouldn't make sense to have Jefferson's words in Lincoln's memorial, would it?
But anyway, they
make it a period where it's actually like a semicolon where he goes on with the rest of his thought, and which is that the two races, I believe that one day this book shall be free, but you know, being free, get them the fuck out of here. We don't want them around.
And where's Marcus Garvey in his Napoleon hat leading the way to Liberia?
Well, you know what? It was only and this is how brainwashed we are, and even me studying this stuff and thinking about it all the time, I didn't even know, but the Jews apparently suborned him pretty well. They knew that they wanted to use blacks to destroy white America, and they did not want a Back to Africa movement, so they undermined it. And they forced blacks onto the track of perpetual or eternal whining about the white man owing them. And really put a really hateful chip on black shoulder.
Right. Well, this ties into your famous phrase, civil rights is Jewish tyranny and blackface. Really, it's the Jews being channeled through the blacks and not the blacks themselves.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's you know, as we never get tired of saying, who created the NAACP? Jews did. They get a couple dumb niggers to front it. They create it. They use it to attack white America, and it's just another stalking horse for their agenda. The Jew is always on every side of every question. He's always pushing his own interest, and there's a whirlwind of activity. As someone else used the metaphor, one of our writers, but you know, just because the winds in a tornado are blowing in all directions doesn't mean that it's not taking a specific direction. I mean, there's Jews on the left, there's Jews on the right, but they're unified in one thing, and that's what's good for Jews is really all that matters. And anything else is hate and illegitimate. You know, they talk about
a tiny 2.4% population percentage of the U.S. population.
Yeah.
With this massive control over the evening news about where our country goes militarily and politically, how white people should perceive themselves in the mirror of their minds.
As our former writer Chuck Pearson used to say, their concerns are made to occupy our every waking moment.
Yeah.
So whether you live whether you live way out in the rural area, kind of like I do, I mean, still you got to read about, you know, Hamas and the Palestinian state, and you got to read about what's going on in Jerusalem, and much more than you read, literally, even about Kirksville. And they hardly run anything about Kirksville in their Kirksville paper. You know, they might run a press release about or something on the cops arresting somebody, but they don't really tell you what's going on. And it's ridiculous. Why do we have to care about Israel so damn much? The tiny obnoxious
country. You're not caring about Israel. You're supposed to be caring about spicks and niggers.
Yeah.
well, why the spicks are just like us? They're Christians. Why the niggers have been so oppressed? Terrible. What can you do?
Yeah, then they don't report like that guy being shot. You know, they don't report stuff like that. They report the rare instance in which a white commits a crime against a colored. That gets
trumpeted.
This
weekend, the big game. Yeah.
They don't give a shit about, you know, Zimbabwe farmers being dispossessed and driven off. But, you know, God forbid one white guy feeds some stinking nigger to a lion and, boom, that gets reported. That'll be front and center, even in the Kirksville papers. Oh, evil white. Oh, culture of violence. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And this is the world we live in. It stinks.
And hip-hop's not hate. That's high art.
Yeah.
Tune in and watch the awards tonight at Hollywood.
Watch it. Watch BET.
Oh, well, watch the niggers get behind the podium and make complete asses of themselves.
And 70 IQ simians are celebrated.
That's right.
This is what you're supposed to admire. This is how you're supposed to act. This is what's cool. I mean, was there ever any power like TV in the history of the world? I don't think so. I think it's the most powerful thing in the world. I mean, maybe you could argue that running the printing presses and printing money on them is more powerful, but that'd be the only thing. And the thing is, this is controlled by the same tiny, hostile, alien elite using it to advance their own ends, which means an American is someone from anywhere that the Jew agrees is an American. And it doesn't matter about, there's no race or anything. Race is for Israel. Racism for whites. That's hate. It's time, white man listening to this, you start thinking about what's in your interest. What's in the interest of your family, your community, and your relatives, and the people like you, and the people you want to live with, in their interests. How come that's not valid? Well, it is valid. It is valid. And the people who are denying the validity of it are this tiny alien hostile group called Jews. And you need to understand about them, learn about them, learn how they afflict you.
Right, and as we'd like to say, media is metapolitics, which is the amplification and the organization of like minds. And that's what, you know, VNN is a news network, and now getting into broadcasting. And this is where we can be effective in expanding the white pockets of air of rationality and true progress.
Yeah, Aegis, that's exactly right. I mean, we're expanding on all fronts, and we'd like to do more video, more audio, more papers, more internet. And we encourage you to join our forum at vnnforum.com and get involved in our projects. Also, there's good things in the works. I know of a server solution that's being developed that will, if you're interested in having a page hosted at a very reasonable rates, I want you to get in touch with me at alinder@kvmo.net, and I will see that you get to the right person. So we're going to be, what you find when you oppose the Jews is that you need to be vertically integrated. And that means controlling every aspect of your operations, because the Jews are experts at behind the scenes. What they do is they go behind the scenes and they try to cut off any source of money or power that you have, because you might
be a threat
to them.
They pulled the plug on Hal Turner's servers this week.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good example recently of the Jews don't like the message, so they try to deny you your right to carry it.
They'll say, well, you have the right. Your own contract.
You know, you'll find the only place, the only time Jews will ever agree that a private company has the right to control itself is when it's their company carrying a message, or a company they can get to that's controlling a message they don't like. Every other instance, it's going to be your civil rights. If it was black nationalist content, they'd be saying, oh, it's abrogating commercial carrier, common carrier rights, and you have no right to determine, you know, to deny this expression of this viewpoint. But when it's white, why, it's perfectly. That's the one time they stand up for commercial contracts. But that's standard Jewish hypocrisy that Turner and we alike denounce. So the point is, whites need to control every aspect of their lives, from digging ditches up to satellite communications. And to the extent that you control things, you feel confident, powerful, and hopeful, and you believe you have a stake in the future. To the extent you're passive, you're depressed and hopeless because you don't feel like you control your own life. And that's why I hope that we sound confident, because we are. We control what we do on VNN completely. There are no Jews. That's what my slogan means. It's not really. People take it sometimes as a meaning a violent thing or whatever. That's a separation. But no Jews just right means is there's no goddamn Jews on VNN. What you're reading is not vetted by Jews like everything else that you read from every other media source.
The Weekly Standard and Fox News, for example.
Yeah, which is totally Jewed out. But and my point is, we expand the range over which we have control, in which our people are free to do their thing. And that makes us positive, happy, and moving forward, whereas the Republicans are just another set of liberals. They buy into the lie that race doesn't matter, that the Jew tells you that you have to embrace that to get your teaching card or your union card. Now, you want to be admitted to the club, then you go under our yoke. And that means you go up public and say, I believe that all races are equal and all men are equal. I believe that garbage. I believe.
And, have you seen this new Speaker of the House, Alex Boner? What's his name, Boner or something?
Yeah, I don't know how to
pronounce. He walks around with a suntan, this perpetual suntan. Looks like leather. A guy like 60 years old, 58 years old, walking around like that in the middle of winter, that's embarrassing. You know, it looks like some 20-year-old chick, you know, in the solarium.
Jane, yeah. It's one of the tan everyman.
Is it Boner or Boehner? I don't know.
I don't know. I saw his picture, and I looked, and I said, what, they got a nigger leader of the House now? And then I opened it up, and every picture you see of this guy, he's about, looks like a mulatto. And I thought, how vain and just silly do you have to be to be that kind of a leader, to walk around with a suntan like that in the dead of winter? It just looks silly, you know, it's like makeup or something.
Corinthian leather.
Rich Corinthian
<That's right>.
leather.
Yeah, Ricardo Montalban, that's right. The finest Corinthian leather.
Ian, younger listeners won't even recognize that allusion. What is that? That was an ad series back in the goddamn 70s or something.
Yeah, there's something that was funny here, dude.
Sometimes you feel like you're 90 once you get in your 30s. It's kind of funny.
Fantasy Island.
You almost feel like you've lived several lives by the time you're...
This guy's walking around like Farrah Fawcett or something. What is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
All right, well, I almost forgot our we have a second email here from Jake Mercer. Just to prove we also will read your critical emails as well as your...
What? Everybody loves us uniformly, Aegis. Suggest
no.
Otherwise is anti-Linderism.
They
will
hate
not be
us.
Tolerated.
Call us up.
All right.
Anti-Goyferism.
Yeah, so this is our first hate mail, and, you know, I'm really quite disappointed, but I'm going to read it anyway. I want some more of this, all right?
And I want better quality.
Right. Here we go. Quote, "May God have mercy on your soul."
Oh, that's so noble.
"God is the only one who shall judge. I will pray for you and all the fools who buy into what you are saying. I truly hope you find the real path."
Oh,
a real human being.
A real human being wrote us that letter. Is that letter signed? Or has it got an X or something? Or that's a beautiful and tender sentiment. It's very common. That is for those of you who engage in the arts of arguing and discussing things. That is one of a set of more or less formulaic letters you will get from Christians who disagree with you. And it's always an expression of sickly concern for your soul. They can care about your soul. No matter what rotten thing the Christian does, it's always out of high motives and concern for your soul. He's going to pray
for Rounder a lot, I'm told.
They pray for you.
Rounder gets prayed for whenever he throws that TA on the goddamn lawns.
You know, I know it's not very politic to criticize Christians, but goddamn it, I mean, they suck. A lot of them just suck. They're dumb, and they're so hypocritical. I mean, to the extent that they actively do good and aren't. And you know what, Craig? The hypocrites are the good ones, because the ones who actually believe are even worse. Because these are the fuckers importing apes. And then when you say, "Your ape just raped my daughter and stubbed a cigarette out on her," and they go, "You're a fucking hater. You hate.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to change your attitude.
God's forgiven my ape, so just shut up."
You know, if Christianity isn't a sickness. What other word but sickness? Sickness can you give to people who try to save niggers and inflict niggers on the rest of us who are trying to live our lives? These people are sick, and nothing will stop me from saying that. I don't care that, a lot of Christians could be racist. They could be turned off by this kind of talk. Well, God damn it, they need to be hit upside the head with a 2x4 and wakened up like, "We don't like what you're doing. And by God, if I had any potential to bring any kind of arms to bear to prevent it, I would." Okay,
I like
your
blind
preachers out, and I would
kill
say,
Christians.
I'd say you're going to go Christians back to your Christians. Goddamn morons, and you're going to tell your morons this is a white nation. If you don't do that, boom, we're going to shoot you. You're going to say, yeah, you're going to stand before your flock, and you're going to say, "We were bought off by the federal government. We knew that niggers were fucking apes and didn't belong among you, but we accepted money to spread that socially destructive lie. Well, now we're changing our tune back to sanity." Okay, that's what you do. You get them in the room and you beat their heads until they agree to what you're saying. And most of them, they know what they're doing is wrong, but they're Christians. They got
really,
more.
You had that fine essay a few years ago. What year did God decide he wasn't a racist?
Did I say that? I don't know if I did.
Yeah,
I agree with it. I agree with it completely. And I think the year, and Rounder was the one who included me to that, was... And I know that E. Michael Jones writes about that, too, in the way that the Catholic elite were bought off to go along with getting rid of the ethnic parishes that kept communities reasonably strong and coherent and discreet. They buy them off.
They threaten their tax status? Mm-hmm.
They just, they stick in low-income housing, and they get a Hesburgh at Notre Dame to start preaching a different doctrine and destroy. There's no reason that... Christianity doesn't have to be hostile to racialism. It doesn't. It doesn't really have to be much of anything, because people are so hypocritical. And if someone says they're a Christian, well, what does that mean? I know what it sort of means today, but it might mean another thing next decade. It doesn't stick to anything other than proclaiming that Jesus is Lord and whatever. What the hell does that mean? Day to day basis, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yeah,
but,
what happens where the rubber meets the road?
Anybody can agree on horse shit like, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's fucking great." believe in Jesus and go to heaven. Well, okay, whatever. That doesn't mean anything, but day to day, what are they preaching? Well, it changes. It changes according to who's in power. And they're very much of this world, and it's a nasty thing, I think, on the whole. And the fact that sometimes it can be compatible with racism doesn't mean that inherently it's a good thing. It just means that people, there used to be a time before the Jews ate out the institution, and there's plenty of evidence they wormed their way into the seminaries. They would allow ethnic groups to be Catholic, but kind of in their own way, and live next to each other. And maybe the Germans would live next to the Poles, would live next to the Irish, would live next to the Greek Orthodox, and they all more or less got along, even if they privately snickered at each other as ridiculous. But they could still get along. But with, when you bring in the niggers and the federal government, I mean, these are radically different creatures that are just killing, raping, stabbing us, and we got the Jews controlling the media where we can't even talk about what's going on. That's right. The only reason we exist. It's not like it's super fun to talk about, you know, death and murder and rape and these endless stories of stupid niggers, you know, drag racing and running over. It's not like that's fucking a lot of fun to think about. It's horrible. This stuff is a burden. It's a burden to know. But responsibility is always a burden. And we want to form, we are forming a self-chosen elite that is going to set up a mirror strategy to Judaism with a dual code. If you're white, you're with us, you're good, you're in. If you're outside that, fuck you. And you whites, you want to go down with the ship and fucking embrace the nigger, you go do that. Yeah, you see where that leads.
Hip-hop.
Yeah. What do you like about this Jewish-produced America that I call Ameriqua? Because it stinks of quasi, and it stinks of the quah-ha-ha-ha-ha. You know, the cry of the fucking monkey in the jungle is what I hear echoing through America.
There was one story this week, Alex. Nigger Lamar killed Nigger Quan. Q-W-A-N.
That's true, Quan.
Be quiet, you old 12-American.
Yeah, it's like, almost as if they're downplaying the petite moralism that might have helped the simpler set through life, and they've retained and intensified the dogmatism, the worst aspects of Christianity, and hollowed it out and replaced its ideology
Judaism.
Yes.
Well, look, you know, Christianity could keep some people out of mischief. If you're saying don't lie and steal, who can disagree with that? I mean, you can't prove absolutely that you shouldn't lie and steal, but then again, I mean, did people lie and steal and think that was a good thing before Christianity came about? Is there less among Aryan people lying and stealing than there would be if Christianity didn't exist? Christ, I think you'd have a hard time proving that. I mean, how many, you see Flanders on TV, how many Christians are like Flanders in The Simpsons?
Yeah, versus Tammy Faye
fucking,
Baker.
These grinning charlatans like Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker and Jerry Falwell doing their utmost to help Israel and fuck America? I mean, come on. I judge them by what they do.
Well,
I mean,
again,
what do they
that
do?
That whole mythology is bound up in their brains. The Jews are God's people. Israel's a special, magical, holy kingdom on the planet Earth spinning around, and it's the locus of where God appeared and will appear again, and it's all wrapped up in their belief system. There's no way you're going to kick them off it, you know, worse than a heroin addict.
I don't think anyone really respects preachers and priests, even the ones that aren't pederasts. I truly think the average normal male looks at them and thinks, I mean, there's something fucking wrong with any man who would become a preacher or a priest. And I think that's an instinctive feeling, and I think it's correct. It's justified. When I see what these things do, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, there is some reverence for priests, in, at least among Catholics, just because they're considered to have made a sacrifice for their beliefs. But again, you have to look where the rubber meets the road. What beliefs have they sacrificed for?
Or what are they doing? I mean, you can believe what you want, but what are you doing? I mean, when you're bringing niggers into communities and you're bashing anybody who criticizes you and you're taking money from the feds to do it, you are destroying people's lives for money. Maybe it's not a huge amount of money, but, you know, that's their living, is these social service Catholics and Lutherans and Protestants. That's what they make their living doing, is importing these niggers to destroy communities.
Well,
and they,
you know,
should
Bush
be judged
spends
for
a great deal of time talking about God.
Yeah,
and,
you know, and this
a
guy
lot of
says,
believe him. Yeah,
this guy who writes this says, don't judge. You know, well, who are you to judge me for judging? And isn't judging just another name for thinking? Judging is the conclusion to successful thinking, like orgasm to sex. You know, why am I going to think if I'm not going to come to a conclusion? The Christian says, I've got a riposte for you, buddy. Don't think at all. The answers are there in the good book, man. If it ain't good, you know, it's not in there. Or if it's good, it's already in there. You don't need anything. All you need is a good book, man. All the answers are in there. Come to Jesus. These are asinine.
Some Chabad Lubavitchers who are all around Bush.
See, when I don't like people, I say, I don't like you. I think you're a shithead. They go, I will pray for your soul. I will pray for you because I care about you. Well, I don't care about you. I don't believe you care about me. I don't care if you care about me. It's just disgusting. It you know, a human being could be a nice piece of meat, but the Christianity has to take, it's like a disgusting, over-sugared, horrible sauce that they pour over what's basically a nice piece of meat, you know. Yeah, it's marbled with a little corruption and love of killing people, and I don't think those are the great things that Nietzsche thinks they are, but they make it worse. Their sauce makes it a lot worse, life a lot worse than it would be. They say that
what,
they civilize people.
What is the antipode to these Christians? It's the racialist Marxians, you know.
Where did the Christians... Craig, where did the Christians ever match the bravery of the SS in battle?
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they did, but I've read, and I'm not even talking about ideology or anything like that, but I'm saying I've read books, descriptions of what the Germans and the SS and the regular army did. You're going, God damn. It's just amazing bravery and understated. Not in a Celtic way or in a... In a Christian, you know, carrying a flag, they just fucking say, this is what I did. This is what I did. Very German way, and I think it's vastly preferable to the British Island type stuff. And I say, you know, where in Christianity is there anything that honorable or noble? I don't think it's there.
The signs are all around us. We're in the throes of a lot of changes. And
people don't like the word cunt, but cunt is the best word in the English language because it produces an emotional response. These are cunts.
The
okay?
Qua cunt.
And you know what, Craig, I wish I'd bought that thing. Craig informed us about a Stryker autograph at this place, and I wish I bought it because it's only about $100.
Yeah.
But I want to get one of those because what I like is Julius Stryker, who printed a paper that the Nazis, it was a pro-Nazi paper, but he was hanged at Nuremberg for nothing other than what he thought and spoke and wrote and his activism. So... there's the ultimate answer to the Anglo-Jewish elite running the world. You know, they say, oh, free speech. We believe in free speech. There's the reality of it. They hang Stryker, literally no action except printing his own opinions. Okay, just like, you know, oh, they love voting, but they don't like that Hamas won the vote. They love free speech and democracy and all this, but they bombed Al Jazeera multiple times. So they're a bunch of fucking cunting, canting hypocrites.
And
I dislike them.
A few of the things that you've picked up on with the production of the Marian Alternative and the success it's had across the country several times now and getting bigger, I guess by the 100,000, is that we've managed to publicize this combination of, for example, the demise, the totally untimely demise of beautiful white women at the hands of niggers. And this is even considered by the media sexy, something they can't ignore. In other words, it sells because it's beauty and the beast. And then the haters who bring this unpleasantness to you. So
Craig, is Seal and Heidi Klum's baby attractive?
it's frightening. It's just like something from science fiction, outer space or something, yeah.
I mean, how can you be a sharp nosed Aryan beauty and look at a goddamn Mike Tyson nosed gray skin colored little apelet coming out of your twat and not think you've made a horrible mistake?
Those were a big seller at the supermarket checkouts, right? Isn't that right? Now probably a lot of those white women say, oh, how cute.
Hey, that may be true, but I'm telling you, there will come a day when she's sitting there, maybe in some German park, and her little apelet is off and running around with some little blonde children, and she will have an epiphany, right? She will go, what the fuck have I done? She'll see some, you know what, the light will glint off one of her little apelet's playmates' blue eyes, right?
Yeah.
Maybe flash off her blonde hair, maybe scintillate off her blonde hair, and she'll go, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I've exchanged a beautiful apple for the mud under a rock.
Just as is happening in St. Petersburg and in Germany, too, the skinheads in that country may take care of her kid for her in due time.
Well, I mean, she will, I guess, I don't feel as emotional about that stuff probably as you do or many do. I just see it as women follow patterns, and if I see it as a failure of men, because it's a failure of women directly, but men, it's really indirectly. It's the problem is the men aren't running things. The men were running things. They set up the pattern. The women will follow. Heidi Klum would be the biggest Nazi in the world if the Nazis were running Germany. Okay? Because women don't really think. They follow. Some women do. I'm overstating. Plenty of women are capable of thought, both technical and instrumental and logical. But the mass of them is going to follow whatever the dominant social pattern is. So it's up to us to control things. We are the ones who
even
fail.
Courts follow that.
Right.
Because
and the women,
Jews took advantage of our genetic proclivity to be comparatively, compared to other races, friendly to outsiders. Now we have to use our intellect to understand the position that has led us into and to create a new elite and a refounding of our nation's plural on a racial basis. So we're racialist and we're nationalist. Because
we
want
so
diversity within the right
forums. And one of them recently wrote that if our media were controlled by white nationalists, and we told everybody, hey, go out and go after the niggers and the Jews, you know, tell them this nonsense is not going to prevail anymore, that within a few months, this would be the hobby in America.
Yeah.
We didn't get to talk enough about how they're doing this in St. Petersburg. They just go after niggers. Just go cripple and kill them. Just end of story. That's about 200 kilometers from where I am. And they're doing it. And there's no reason it couldn't be done in the United States, too.
And the context there is, of course, the Jew billionaire Soros funding these sham parties that are supporting Western values. And by Western, they mean Jewish. They mean neoconservative values. Yeah. Oh, you'd be a democracy. You put in power someone who the Jews like. The minute your leader becomes unpopular with the Jews, why all of a sudden Russia's going back to Soviet-style communism? But, Craig's right. Ultimately, physical violence is what got civil rights accomplished. And violence ultimately underlies changes in political power.
Yeah.
You'll have to. Conditions right now are pretty good. You're not gonna. You go out in the street, proclaim revolution. No one's gonna follow you, among whites. But things can change. Things are not always the same, and whites need to have some imagination. And I pay attention to the libertarians because, in the way that racialists are right about racial law, which the libertarians ignore, the libertarians are still right about a lot of economic law. And I watch how they report on money and the way the Jews are manipulating the economy. And we stay alert and we watch and see what's gonna happen. Because you can't print money forever, and you can't run up deficits forever. And when you eventually steal everything from the bulk of the white people, they just may want some answers about it. And we have the answers. We have the full answer. We don't just have the limited economic answer the libertarian has. We have the full answer about here's what's being
done. Autonomy and self-determination for our people and our own lands. And there's nothing wrong with that. If it's good enough for every other race, why is it not good enough or valid enough for us?
Because they want to eat us, as you know. They want to live off our corpse until we're dead. They won't be any worse off than we're
before. David
Duke said
they want to control their lands and our lands, too, the Jews do.
Yeah.
Right. If we take the human body as a metaphor, they're an invading virus or bacilli, and we are the immune system.
And they can't even rhetorically allow us existence because the minute we were allowed that existence, it would become apparent what they are. Parasites. I don't just mean the Jews. I mean the blacks and the coloreds, too. You know, you think you can sneak over the border into Mexico and get free health care for your illegitimate baby? You think so? Why don't you go try it? Hell, you're lucky if you buy property down there and they don't steal it from you, you know? Or you don't get someone stolen by one of their drug gangs. And there are equals. Well, when are they going to prove it? I mean, Mexico's been around a long time. They haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah. Well, closing statements, Jane, Alex. Jane, you want to start, Alex?
I'd like to say that Mexicans suck, niggers suck. But both are symptoms of Jews, and Jews suck the worst of all. And whites exist. We're tired of the fucking Jewish dictatorship, and we mean to end it. And we do that by engaging in media right now. And we want you to join. Get in, man. This is where it's headed. Yeah. And it's sure not the way of the Fox News. If you think that's an alternative, that's the same thing, a different facet of the same thing. A different facet of the same charcoal briquette of stupid, wasted liberalism. Well, right, charcoal is actually useful, so I don't mean to defame the noble and innocent charcoal briquette. My remarks in no way should be interpreted as a slur on the sense of noble character of the which, for all its blackness, which suggests otherwise, nevertheless has a fine utility, the basis of a warming fire.
How's TA4 coming, Alex? I'd like to ask you that. A lot of excitement about that.
It's coming slowly, purely due to me, but it will get there. I have a lot of material, and it's good stuff.
And it's going to be 1,000 published.
Keep being wrong if I give a date, but it will. It's getting there. It's getting there, and it will be jam-packed with good stuff. And it will focus on, as I've said, on pretty much everything pertaining to blacks, but, of course, an all-important text of the Jews who brought them here and sicked them on us. And like I said, there is a server solution coming, so those of you looking for webpage hosting or even to acquire your own server will be able to do so. So get in touch with me if you're looking for that kind of thing, and I'll put you in touch with the right people.
And Aegis is doing podcasting. He's the expert and has VNN and also other podcasts.
We are white. We're the good guys. Join us in whichever capacity fits your ability.
Yes, I'd like to second that call. I want to thank you for listening in tonight. This is our 28th show. We're going to keep going on until they stop us or we don't have anything to talk about, but I don't think either one is going to be happening anytime soon. So stay tuned.
Drag racing and dozens of people getting run over. I feel very confident in asserting.
Yeah, stay tuned, stay subscribed, send us an email at info@goyfire.com, or check out the forum at vnnforum.com.
Yeah, if you wanted to send a good hate letter, send it to, what was that again?
info@goyfire.com.
info@goyfire.com. All your hate, hostile, and helpful, friendly letters, we appreciate them, and we'll talk about them on air.
Yes, and your prayers. Don't forget those.
Yeah, please do continue to pray for our souls.
Okay, well,
acting fast, endangered soul, any good priest will tell you.
Yes, well, we are the good guys, that we know. And you do too, if you've been listening to us this long. So, till next time, America, this is Aegis wishing you the best of good times.
The Aryan Alternative, news and views for whites you won't find anywhere else. The Aryan Alternative is a print publication of uncensored news for whites. Be the first in your neighborhood to distribute news without the Jews by ordering 100 copies for $12 through the Vanguard News Network. Visit govnn.com for ordering information. The Aryan Alternative and the Vanguard News Network. No Jews, just right.